talked about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Say, where does a young prostitute get started in this town?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
You don't think I feel bad that I invited all these people to this huge wedding and flew everyone out? I wasted everyone's time. You know, I wasted everyone's money. I wasted everyone's everything, and I feel bad. You don't think I feel bad? At 30 years old, I thought I'd be married with kids, and I'm not. And I failed at this, and you think that I don't feel bad?
I'm gonna skull rape you, keep you in a cage in my basement, then dump your corpse behind Walmart.
You cannot run around so casually using that word, okay? Rape is for special occasions.
And now,
I'll give you the same advice my father gave me the night I lost my virginity. Just pick one. They all cost the same.
Our feature presentation.
That is excellent advice. Thank you for that. Welcome on into the Kevin and Bean Show. Brand new program for Wednesday. I got the news on right now, seeing all those reports about the Mexican earthquake down in Acapulco.
Oh, Lisa, yeah.
Weren't you in Acapulco not too long ago?
I generally go to Cabo or Cancun. I have never been to Acapulco. I know Psycho Mike had his honeymoon there.
Yeah, a lot of our listeners head down there from time to time, but a lot of houses down. Nice job, Beer Mug, first of all.
What did I do? I didn't cause the earthquake.
But it was a 7, what is it, Bean? A 7 something?
Yeah, it was a shallow one, too. Apparently, it was the biggest one a lot of people will ever feel in their lives.
But so. I heard nobody was killed, which is
that's
better than we did.
I know. It's in Mexico. No offense to our Mexican brothers and sisters.
But come on.
They're not building them like we're building them in the U.S. of A., right?
Right.
That's impressive. Nobody was killed. Wow.
Is that
just because most of them were sleeping outside anyway?
No.
What's happening?
Bean.
No, I'm just saying. I was just surprised by that. I'm grateful.
It was
obviously
a rural area where
yes,
it really hit hard.
I think that's actually more the case rather than people didn't have homes. I think
have homes.
I know. But anyway, here's a story to get us started. I should preface this by saying, and I don't think they are a sponsor or anything, but I want to say it for the record, is that, you know, like millions of Americans, I am a 100% total Apple enthusiast, an obsessive Apple consumer.
Yes.
Now, I wasn't, you know, in line last week to buy the new iPad 3, now just called the iPad, I guess, but they, you know, they sold millions of those. And, you know, I have multiple Apple computers. I use an Apple laptop, Apple desktop, have an iPhone, have an iPad. I love their product. Now, having said that, 51-year-old Colorado woman reports that her iPhone 4 burst into smoke and flames just inches from her head last week, and she's got the photos to prove it.
No.
You know, there have been a lot of stories this week about these new iPads running a little bit hotter than the
iPhone.
Model.
Is it the iPhone or the iPad?
This story is the iPhone that blew up.
Okay.
But, you know, cramming all those electronics into a tiny little area, sometimes they do generate some heat. So Apple's also in the news with people complaining that the iPads are getting too hot. You know, some people even put a towel or something on their lap if they're using the iPad there because, you know, they're running 10 to 15% hotter than the other models. And people are saying, hey, it's uncomfortable. Well, this iPhone actually exploded, essentially.
Oh, my God.
A woman said she was traveling on the East Coast. She was sleeping alone in a hotel room with the phone plugged into an Apple charger on the nightstand, 12 to 14 inches from her head. Around 6:30 a.m., she awoke to a strange smell and sizzling and popping noises. She said it was not quite an explosion, but an immense crackling and the room filled with smoke.
Whoa!
It was an awful, putrid smell, quoting now, almost like you were ingesting plastic of some time, she said in a phone interview. She jumped from her bed, used her laptop case to pick up the phone and throw it into the hotel room sink. The hotel smoke alarms failed to work. An electrician found nothing wrong with the room's power outlet. She said she had bought the white iPhone 4 about a year ago at an Apple store in Colorado. She said, you know, she came forward because she had tried going to Apple first. And she said, you know, she told them what happened and they did not report it. She said, I feel like this is information that needs to be out there. So she went to Mashable, the internet website. She said, you know, they're not publicly acknowledging this, and I think it's dangerous enough that other iPhone owners should know about this, right?
That's really dangerous.
She also said that she contacted Apple and said, you know, she wanted a replacement. Obviously, she's still not going to stop using an Apple product just because one blew up on her. And apparently, the iPhone 4 has had this problem a couple of times around the world. I mean, out of the millions of iPhone 4s that are out there, it's only happened a couple times. It's not like it's, you know, it's not like it's common or anything. But the iPhone 4S does not appear to have this problem at all so far. So she thought, hey, how about upgrading me to the iPhone 4S? And Apple said, no. They give her another four.
They're very tight with their money.
Very tight with the refunds and the replacements. Yeah. Look, if the lady's phone blew up, go ahead and upgrade her to the new model. Come on.
Well, maybe
right?
If she hadn't been a tattletale, they would have talked about it. But yeah, she would have blabbed something anti-Apple.
she said, let me see. Had the combustion happened a half hour later, she said she would have been in the shower with the sizzling, smoking phone blocking her path from the bathroom to the front door. You know, she's worried about the room catching on fire, for God's sakes. Had it happened the night before, the phone would have been charging in another room in her mom's house. Mm. Maybe I'm naive, but I really hate when companies have to wait for fatalities or something awful to happen before they do something, she adds.
How many phones would they have to recall?
I don't know. I mean, and they won't, all? But... And I was thinking the other thing, because there are so many crazy Apple people like me. Mm-hmm. Honestly, if they came out and said, all right, 1 out of 10 phones is going to explode, people would still line up to buy it. People would still go, it's worth it.
Yep.
It's worth that 90% chance my phone's not going to explode. I'll go ahead and still buy one anyway.
It's totally true.
So I think there's extreme tolerance for maybe some sort of downsides to some of these products just because people love them so much.
Yeah.
But you don't expect that to happen. You know. I saw on the news this week, I saw that that car that ran into a gas pump and saw that thing explode. You just, you know, and there was a woman pumping gas at the time when the pump exploded because somebody else ran into it from the other side. You just don't expect things to explode in your day-to-day life.
No, I did not see that. Was she okay?
Yeah, she was fine. She was standing outside the car pumping gas, so she just ran, you know.
Wow.
But, yeah, her car burned up like a lot of stuff at the station.
Oh, that'd be so scary.
Yeah, most of us are just we're just not ready for fire as a part of our daily life from unexpected sources.
It kind of panics you a little bit.
It's
the
not
fire
good.
Thing.
Nice job, beer mug.
Yeah,
come
mugs.
On.
Let's talk about today's all new Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
That idea is terrible.
How dare you? First of all, Sarah Shahi is going to be on the program today.
Oh, that's right.
She's adorable, by the way.
She is, and really talented.
You watched that Fairly Legal?
I have seen it. Yes.
Yeah, she's great on that show, I know Ralph is in love with her, and he's going to request that I step out of the room for a few minutes so he can have some private time with her. We'll play our new internet game, Snooki or Chloe. We haven't done that in a while. That's always fun to see what they're tweeting about. It's ironic that we choose those two because Chloe will be tweeting about how sad she is that she can't have a baby, and Snooki's going to be talking all about having a baby. So it's going to be interesting to see which direction these two go today.
That's right.
Also, Oscar winner Jim Rash in studio today. He is hilarious as the dean of Greendale College on the TV show Community. He's the little bald guy. He also is an Academy Award winner for being part of the team that wrote the screenplay for George Clooney's film The Descendants.
Oh, sweet.
People must have been so surprised to see him step out on stage at the Oscars to pick up that award.
Yeah, you certainly don't think of him as a writer.
No, not at all. It's like when, Jermaine from Flight of the Conchords won his Oscar. Same night, you're going, hey, what's that dude doing on the screen? This isn't for people like that.
Oh, you people, stop overachieving.
But Jim is very funny, and we've been wanting to have him on for a long time. And as a matter of fact, having Allison Brie last Thursday and Jim today, it was Wednesday, day before. I'm hoping that every week maybe, while Community is back on this season, every week we can try to get somebody in from Community and help pump up their ratings. I mean, they had great ratings coming back last week. One of the highest rated shows they've ever had.
That's awesome.
Which
Good
is fantastic
them.
News because that's a great show. Also, Beer Mug interviews Richard Dreyfuss, the Oscar-winning actor, the legend. Beer Mug one-on-one. Did you consider that he was a little cranky, Muggs, or do you think that you just didn't give much to work with?
That could have been it, but I think he's salted by the movie industry a little bit.
Yeah.
And that kind of shown.
The industry salted him?
Yeah.
I wondered about that.
Does that make sense?
He's salty?
Oh, he's salty. But yeah.
But that's more from being at sea.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He also has been interviewed millions of times, and of all of those times, yours was the worst. And I think that may have had something to do with the feeling that he had that he was just wasting his time.
But think of this. Beer mug made an impression on someone who's been interviewed millions of times.
Yeah, that's true. He could have also just hit him in the nuts, too, though. I mean, there are multiple ways to make impressions. But poor, sad Richard Dreyfuss. You should hear this interview. This is maybe one of my favorites that Beer Mug has ever done. And that, my friends, is saying something. Also, the Ace Man joins us today. Adam Carolla, This Week in Rage, and Car Sex Gone Wrong. At this time yesterday, we told you about that police officer who had a sexual encounter in his squad car while on duty that was transmitted to anyone listening to a police radio.
Yeah, that was good.
That's not what he was hoping for that day, but there are lots of different ways that having sex in an automobile, although sometimes, you know, it's necessary. Sometimes it's just got to be done.
Yep.
Doesn't always work out the way you hope, so we're going to be taking your calls on that later on. Plus, Ralph's got the showbiz beat, and all of that is next right after this on an all-new Kevin and Bean.
I like warm pee.
Stop it.
It's comforting.
No, it's not.
First time I drank my urine, I didn't throw up. And it wasn't horrible. So I thought, you know, I can do this.
You've had enough of
listening to Carrie drink her pee.
The woman we featured from My Strange Addiction, she enjoys warm pee, though, Ralph. Thought you liked that.
Since she didn't throw up the first time, she thought, well, I'll just start doing this all the time.
Good God. Exactly. Why not? Be this America. All right. Welcome into the Kevin and Bean Show here on a, let's just say it's a Wednesday. It's 5:53. Ralph Garman joins us with his wacky horn. And it's time for the showbiz beat.
Let's say it's Wednesday. Let's fool people. They're going to be so surprised when they get to work and it's Thursday.
It's also leap day. Today's leap day.
Nice work, Bean, up there in Washington State, by the way.
What did I do?
Criminals. You and your criminals. Did you hear about the guy who was picked up by Homeland Security near the Canadian border this week?
What'd he do?
He was a smuggler. Apparently, Homeland Security got a tip to look out for a smuggler. I don't know how they found him, but he was staying at the Smuggler's Inn Hotel.
Are you kidding?
Oh, yeah.
And was driving a car with the vanity license plate, Smuggler.
Oh, my God.
But how did they know he was the guy?
They followed him to the motel, pulled him over, and found 9 bricks of cocaine in his trunk that he was trying to drive over the Canadian border.
Oh, my God.
Don't let people tell you that advertising is everything, by the way, in the world of professions.
Did he have any tattoos? I'm just curious.
He did. He had one across his forehead that said, Smuggler. He drove a car with a license plate, Smuggler.
Maybe he thought it was so obvious no one would ever suspect
him. This
will
throw him off. I'll be the last person they look at. Yeah, well, Washington State's full of idiots. You know what they say.
That's true.
All right, let's talk about showbiz news, shall we? Oh, one of my favorite games to play.
Celebrities. They love to party. How up can they get? Who's putting down the needle for drying out? It's time for Rehab Roulette.
For those of you who could almost hear that bit.
Yeah, what was happening?
Mudge was on the phone talking to somebody while I'm playing audio over here. Apparently he's no longer interested in the show that's happening right here.
Pay attention, could you? We're doing a radio show here.
Yeah, you got it.
Guess who's in rehab now?
Who?
Although his people are denying it. The Situation!
What?
According to TMZ, Mike Sorrentino, a.k.a. The Situation, has been checked into an inpatient treatment program. However, his representatives contacted TMZ to say they're not confirming Mike's in rehab, just that he has spent the past several weeks in an undisclosed location for much-needed rest and recuperation after his extensive production and appearance schedule.
I don't know what I was... I don't even know. Who knows, dog? I don't even know what the I was thinking.
Yeah. That sounds nothing like rehab.
No.
Several weeks in undisclosed
location.
See, I would
go on vacation.
Yeah, just
personally,
go on vacation.
But
he had to go into a program.
Yeah.
Now, no word what he's recovering from, although they do drink a lot on that show.
How will he be anybody if he doesn't drink? Isn't that all they do?
That's the Snooki conundrum, too. How's that going to work out? Yeah. And they're all back, by the way. They're going to be filming Jersey Shore Season 6 this summer back there in Jersey, all of them.
Wasn't the original idea to change them out every year?
I think so, initially. They were talking about when they had those contract renegotiations, when everybody was demanding more money, MTV said, well, screw it, we'll just cast a brand new cast. Mm-hmm. But they buckled. I guess they're afraid to screw with a successful franchise, and so they buckled and gave them much more money, so they're all bringing them all back. And Snooki said she wasn't going to do season six because she's going to be a mom, and she's not drinking and not partying. But she also said, no, never mind, I'll be back as well. So she'll be fat and pregnant and not drinking. And awesome. Sorrentino will be rehabbed and not drinking. So
you were excluded from the surf and turf night. You were excluded from ravioli night. You were excluded from chicken cutlet night.
Well, you're excluded from OxyContin and alcohol night. How about that, Mike?
And I just feel like, and I know you're with me on this, Ralph, that we're just so bored with these people. We've seen everything they've got.
Yeah, and the show is desperately trying to give them now activities
right.
to try to create some sense of novelty on the show. They send them camping and crabbing and fishing off a pier. And it's like, really? How desperate are you that you make them fish and crab?
And there's a reason why on other shows, on, you know, The Real World or Survivor or The Bachelor or whatever it is, they give us new contestants to learn about and be excited about every year.
But how would we live without our Snookies
and our
Sammies and our J-Wows?
We'd live well and happily.
Politics and celebritydom crossing paths yet again. Did you hear about the joke Robert De Niro made last week at a Hollywood fundraiser?
I did not.
Yeah. He was at a fundraiser for President Obama on Monday night, and he made a joke about the Republican potential nominees and their wives, saying Calista Gingrich, Karen Santorum, and Romney, do you really think our country is ready for a white first lady? See what he did there? He turned the tables.
Oh, geez.
Well, it didn't take long for Newt Gingrich to be outraged by the joke, saying, I think the country is ready for a new first lady. He doesn't have to describe it in racial terms.
No, so
apparently.
What neat humor. What neat humor.
Apparently, Newt says that's the kind of behavior that splits the country.
That's what it is.
When Robert De Niro makes a joke about a white first lady, that's a schism. In our nation, and he will not stand for it.
Damn De Niro, that's De Niro. Why nothing is working.
That's right,
Danny. Here we go! It's on! Race war!
I don't think
it's
we're
going
looking.
Down!
No.
It's going down!
I don't think that's what we're headed for.
Well, Beer Bug plays his clips at a level that they can be heard.
Yeah, apparently that was loud and clear.
Was that good?
Good to hear. And a quick, Kardashian update from In Touch magazine. Porn star Kim Kardashian reportedly has been dumped by Reggie Bush again. And now has been hanging around Kanye West, trying to spark a romance there. Courtney, her baby daddy, Scott Disick, who she's expecting a second child with, has apparently moved out on her.
Uh-huh.
And Chloe is feeling rejected by Lamar Odom because, she says the trade from the Lakers to the Dallas Mavericks has really affected him and their marriage. That's what it is.
And she can't have a baby, and she's sad.
Yeah, right. And she's massive and frightening. So there's your quick Kardashian update.
How do we know she's not already pregnant? There's no way to tell.
No, you would never know until she drops a foal.
Right.
Today's celebrity birthday is actor Timothy Dalton, known as the Other Bond. He is 66 years old today. Actor Gary Oldman. How good is he?
He's the best.
Of course, we'll see him this summer as Commissioner Gordon once again. Or Lieutenant Gordon, I guess it is, in the new Batman film. 54 years old. Rosie O'Donnell, celebrating 50 years on this planet and zero TV shows.
Not so much celebrating, I'm guessing.
No, apparently she did. There was a big story about how literally the day that her show was canceled, she went and had this giant party at this restaurant to celebrate her 50th birthday. Everybody said she was partying and dancing and having the time of her life.
Well, she wasn't happy on her show by the time they dismantled it.
No, she wasn't. Maybe she was happy to be gone.
Yeah.
Matthew Broderick, also 50 years old today. Kevin Federline.
Oh,
Federlezzi. Wow.
Isn't he in Australia trying to get skinny?
I believe he is.
A name we haven't heard in a while.
He's 34. Derek Whibley of Sum 41 is 32. And Eddie Money, the legendary Eddie Money, is 63 years old today. I think we're going to have to put together a little Eddie
action. A little taste of Eddie.
Later on. I'm Ralph Garneau.
So that anybody knows who the hell we're talking about?
How dare you, sir? That will not stand.
That's the way this country is falling apart.
That's right. You and Robert De Niro are schisms. I'm Ralph Garneau. I walk the showbiz.
Lisa, as you know, teen idols come and go. They usually have a year, maybe two, in the spotlight, and then most of the time you'd never hear from them again.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost impossible to make that transition from a teen idol, from a very young performer, into an adult. And, you know, of course, you see every once in a while, you'll see Justin Timberlake will come along, or, you know, Michael Jackson, George Michael, people like that who started off real young and then managed to become adult stars as well. But most of the time, you're Hanson. You know, you get your couple of minutes, and then you're gone. Justin Bieber is trying to figure out how to make that transition. He, of course, has been a superstar for the past couple of years, but he's 18 years old now.
Yeah, and but so wealthy.
And the he doesn't have to work, let's face it. But if he wants to keep a music career going, what's he going to do to keep fans and keep attracting new fans? I mean, you know, the kids, you know, the little girls who were into Justin Bieber have moved on to One Direction now. What do they care what old man Bieber has to say?
That's so rough to be old at 18.
So the way he's doing it apparently is going hip-hop. Apparently he has a new song that's coming out in 2 weeks called Boyfriend. It is co-written and produced by Mike Posner, and apparently it is all about the hip-hop, and he is serious about this transition into this new adult kind of music. We wanted to find out more about that. Of course, we're good friends with our friend Justin Bieber, who joins us on the phone right now on the Kevin DeMeat Show. Hey, Justin, what's going on, man?
What's it all these questions, bro?
I just asked what's going on. That's all I said, Justin.
Why are you coming at me, Hayda?
No one's hating here.
What's
How
that
are
all
you?
About? What's that all about, Hayda? Ow! Just,
what was that?
I
what
don't know.
Now? Oh, I thought you were in the studio.
That's super hip-hop right there.
Justin Bieber's Boyfriend, which is the name of the new song, is super hip-hop, says the producer.
Yeah.
Okay, look.
You look, don't be all cray.
Okay, it takes a rare white guy to be able to pull off the hip-hop lingo, and I'm not sure you're the man for the job, Justin.
I'm Justin Bezizzer.
Oh, no, really?
See, we can, this is no one.
Justin Bezieber.
Oh, God.
What's the questions, bro?
Look, why can't you just be a white suburban kid from Canada? That's fine. Just do that.
Because I'm not, yo. I'm super hip-hop, eh?
But you're not. You didn't grow up...
About boyfriend. Yeah?
You didn't grow up in the mean streets of Watts here, Justin.
Yeah, you're not fooling anyone.
I grew up in the mean streets of Canada, yo.
They don't have mean streets.
I used to slang maple syrup on the streets.
Yeah, that's pretty rough.
I'd knock over Tim Hortons when I needed some cash. How about that national health care, eh?
Yeah, what about it?
Yeah, hockey.
Yeah, that's all Canadian stuff that you're talking
sure
about.
Sure is, make believe.
Right,
you know,
but that doesn't. Yeah, but that
cray.
Doesn't. Okay, but that doesn't make you hip hop. That's what I'm saying is you're fronting, as your people would say, Justin. You're fronting now.
I don't know what fronting means.
See, that's my point, is you're not hip-hop. You
I am.
Try to...
I'm super hip-hop.
How are you super hip-hop?
Because, like, I wear, like, regular, like, glasses and a tie and shirt, and then I'm just hip-hop, and then I take off my glasses, man. I'm super hip-hop.
Right. You are crazy, man. You're crazy.
I'm cray.
Cray,
no,
yes.
Crazy. You're, no, you're just crazy.
No,
okay.
I rap on this song. I sing on this song.
Right.
They say I sound like one of the Yin Yang twins.
Yeah, I've heard that comparison too. That's very difficult to believe. Yeah, you just sound like a bird who's dying, Justin. That's you don't have what the Yin Yang twins have. I'm sorry to say. Look, why can't you well, listen to Lisa and say, I've got all the money in the world. I never have to work again. I'm just going to quietly go away and have sex with Selena Gomez.
Yeah.
Why don't you just do that?
Because this is the song that's going to shut up all the haters, eh?
Okay.
Because I'm going to come out and they're going to say, yo, 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 Justin Bezieber is off the his hook and he's mad cray.
You think you're pulling it off, Justin?
Eh?
That's so harsh.
A lot of problems.
Yeah, you do. Good luck with that. I got this, Ralph. I'm fine.
No, you can go now.
No, I'm talking to Ms. Shahi. I can handle this.
Okay.
Fairly Legal, USA Network, Friday nights. What?
Yeah,
I've
seen every episode of Fairly Legal. You watched this the season opener last week. That's how we compare.
I'm a big fan of Sarah's. That's all I'm saying.
I watched every episode of Life. I've known everything she's ever done. Except for that whole Dallas Cowboys debacle that she was involved in. She's been perfect.
In other words, if she were an Eagles cheerleader, then she would be
the perfect woman. Yes.
All right. Well, let's not fight. Let's share. Sarah Shahi joins us back on the Kevin DeMeat Show. Hello, my dear. How are you?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Guys, you're playing Gautier. Oh,
yes.
My God.
Do you like that song?
I've been obsessed for so long now, for so long.
Yeah.
No, I love Gautier.
It's a great song, but what is that, like a xylophone solo in it? It's weird, right? You don't hear that
it's
on the radio very often.
That's why he's so wonderful.
Yeah.
Have you seen the video?
Yeah, it's cool.
All of a sudden, this interview has turned into press for Gautier.
I know.
No, that's fine. That's fine.
And that, chick's with him, the one who gets body painted, she's hot, too.
Oh, yeah, she's totally hot. What's her name? It starts with a K.
Kimbra.
Okay.
All right, let's
any
talk.
Any other comments on the playlist you want to get into here, Sarah, before we move on?
No. We'll do that on another interview.
Last week, Sarah, the premiere of season 2 of Fairly Legal. Amazing episode.
Oh, thank you.
Things are just sort of turning upside down for Kate.
Yeah, you know, the goal this year was to put Kate in situations that would make her a little bit darker and a little edgier and force her to grow up in this very adult corporate world that she's a part of but doesn't want to be a part of. I miss you guys, by the way. I just want to say that.
We miss you.
I totally miss you guys. I feel like it's been so long. I don't know what happened. I think it was last time I was supposed to come by and then I got sick or something.
Yes.
We were down at Comic-Con in San Diego and you were supposed to stop by.
Oh my gosh, that's right. That's when I got my kidney infection.
Oh, we heard it was food poisoning. Now it's a kidney infection. Get your lies straight, Sarah Shahi.
That's my publicist trying to cover for me, and I just blow it on live radio. Bladder infection, that's not so hot, but food poisoning, that sounds
that's
better.
Sexier.
But I want to come by whenever we wrap in a couple weeks, and I'd love to come by and see everybody. I want to come.
Well,
by.
You're always welcome. You know that.
Good.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I don't like this new guy in your life on the show, this Rian Johnson, his beady little eyes looking you up and down like
Ben's
you do.
Great. I love Ben Grogan.
I don't like him either.
I love Ben.
Thank you very much. It's creepy the way he undresses you with his eyes in every scene. I'm just saying. Hands off,
I know.
Buddy.
God, what are his motives? I don't know.
I wonder. I can't imagine what he's thinking when he's looking at you, Sarah Shahi. What can he be thinking?
So lecherous. Help.
But Reed and Reed's in the toilet thanks to your stepmother, and you know Ben's got to step in and bring some cash flow.
See, that's the thing. You know, he's brought in to shake it up a little bit, and it's good because from you know him and his character and our interaction together, you get to see a different side of Kate, and he does bring more comedy into her life, into the show's life, and you know to the end of the season. In the end of the season, we are building to this really nice love triangle between Kate, Justin, and Ben, and she's gonna have to pick one.
But Justin cheated on Kate.
I know.
Can you imagine?
How good is that? Oh, God.
How could he do that to you?
Because he's an a-hole.
are we gonna find out who this slut was? Is that gonna be revealed at some point, or is she gonna be a mystery lady?
No, we don't know her. She's not important.
I was hoping it was your stepmom.
Oh, we've been pushing for that for 2 seasons.
That would have been perfect.
Kate, or not Kate, Lauren and Justin.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. It would be that'd be so hot and so perfect to find the two of them
and
together.
Kate's head would explode.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, it would.
Like
yes.
Your boat. Yeah. Like your boat.
I know.
What the hell is that all about?
It would either explode or she would get out on the action just to I was going to say the F word, but
yeah.
Just to F with both of them a little bit. You know what I mean? Because she would do that more than her head would explode, I feel. She's doing that a little bit more this year.
More three ways for Kate?
You know, USA, they say it's the land of blue skies, but it's really the land of three ways.
Right. That's how you get some eyeballs on the program right there.
is that what I need to say to get people to watch, damn it?
Yes.
Yes, there's three ways. There's three ways. There's lots of three ways. No, you know, the bulb blowing up, we wanted to... Kate, the two things that she depends on the most in this world, or at least when we ended season one, it's her boat, which for her represents her dad, it represents the family, you know, and she loved living on that boat. There's no responsibilities, there's no, like, rent to pay, you know, you're living on the water, and then the other thing was Justin. She figured that he would always be there, and, you know, so what better way to pull the rug from underneath her this season to just take away the two things that she thought she could rely on the most.
Yeah, great way to get things started.
Yeah, and, you know, every episode it's going to be, you know, one step forward, two steps back, three steps forward, one step back. That's kind of going to be her roller coaster this year.
It's awfully early for that kind of math, Sarah. You got to slow down, babe. Got to slow down.
It's so early for this conversation.
It is.
I mean, you guys just sound so clear to try to you know, fake any kind of clarity at this hour in the morning is the best acting work I've ever done.
Well, good job.
This is the voice of Sarah Shahi here on the Kevin Beach Show. We're talking about her show, Fairly Legal, which is terrific. Friday nights at 9 on USA. Let me play a clip. We talked about Rian Johnson. He meets you in a bar. You're sitting there just nursing your drink, thinking about all the things happening in your life. And he steps up and tries to make a play for you. And there's a couple of minutes of very witty banter between you two. The sexual chemistry is instant. But here's how that first encounter ends. I think people will get a taste of what your character, Kate, is all about.
Is truth the way to your heart? Withdrawn counselor, I misspoke. We have not yet established that you have a heart.
The way to my heart would be to do everything and to say nothing. No negotiation, no foreplay, no strategy. Just be who you are and take me. Too late.
Too late? What? No! No!
And you like how I go in?
Yeah, it was
nice.
Yes.
I go in
like
for almost a kiss, but no.
Yes.
But
you tease.
Yeah.
You tease.
Speaking of teases, you have Michael Trucco on your show, plays Justin, of course. And then you bring in Michael Hogan as a guest star last week. And there's no Battlestar Galactica reunion.
I know.
All the geeks across America, their hearts were broken.
I'll tweet a picture of them.
All right, fair enough.
That's getting
fantastic.
Better.
You can follow Sarah on Twitter at Only Sarah Shahi. The show Fairly Legal airs Friday nights at 9 on USA. Ralph, I hate to say this, but I think we're out of time.
No.
I know. I think we have to say goodbye and let Sarah go back to sleep or whatever it is she's doing right now.
What do you do this time of morning, Sarah?
I've got to go on ADR.
Oh.
I have to go on ADR for a couple hours, and then I've got to go to work.
All right. Well, we miss you, and we want to have you come by when you're in town.
Yeah, for sure. Let's do it. Definitely.
Okay.
Thanks so much for the time.
All right, guys. It was so good talking to you. Bye.
Bye, Sarah.
Oh, I love that TV show community. I know you guys do, too. Very excited to welcome Dean Pelton to the show in about 20 minutes or so. Actor Jim Rash is going to be joining us here on the Kevin Beach Show. Adam Carolla later on today. And we'll also talk about Sex in Cars Gone Wrong. That's all straight ahead on the Kevin Beach Show on K-Rock. Hey, Ralph Garman, what's going on?
Lindsay Lohan! In the news, girl can't catch a break these days. If someone's not trying to sue her for hit and run, like that hookah manager was doing. Now her former lovers are going public with their trysts.
Really?
Apparently, porn star Voodoo Alex Torres, known as Voodoo.
Oh, this is a real porn
star.
This isn't like with Kim Kardashian.
No, this Alex Torres goes by Voodoo.
All right.
And he dished to a Toronto radio station last Friday that he hooked up with Lindsay while her father was sleeping upstairs. He claims that he's very popular with many ladies in Hollywood, and they are willing to pay for his services.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm a stud. So I don't know how much we can take him to his word or not. But here's my rule of thumb with all people who have sex with any other people. Shut up! There's an unspoken contract between two people who have sex. And that contract says, shut up!
I think that's reasonable. And then last week we saw those reports that the fashion photographer, Terry Richardson, was blabbing to people that he had sex with Lindsay, and now she won't stop calling him
and leaving him alone.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like everybody's coming out and tattling on Lindsay. What up?
Let's just let the poor girl melt down in her own schedule. We don't need to fan those flames.
Everybody help,
exactly.
We don't need to fan those flames at all. Looks like they found a way to bring back Charlie Sheen to 2 and a Half Men. The ghost of his character, Charlie Harper, will be returning to 2 and a Half Men. Here's the twist, though. The ghost will be played by Kathy Bates.
Oh, that's awesome.
Kathy Bates has signed to appear as Charlie's ghost on an episode that will air on April the 30th. So Charlie's character is coming back. However, Charlie Sheen himself will not be reprising his role. Kathy Bates will be playing him.
That's not me.
Which sounds disturbing on so many levels.
They would never allow him on that set again.
No, he won't be back.
It would be very smart for Charlie Sheen to try to make a return appearance. It would be a huge publicity for him all over again. A lot of goodwill would show that he's a grown-up and maybe, you know, get some good publicity for him ahead of launching his new show.
But he's not a grown-up. That's the problem.
Yeah, that's true.
Another day, another judge being rumored about the X Factor. Of course, Paul Abdul and Nicole Scherzinger were fired from that show, and they've been trying to replace them with a new judge ever since. Now it looks like Leanne Rimes has been talking to producers about potentially judging the show.
At least she sings.
We said Stacey Keibler yesterday. Britney Spears apparently still in the mix as well. You're right, Lisa. At least Leanne Rimes had some success as a singer, so she would be able to pass judgment with some sort of knowledge.
Yep.
Nope.
And here's how the celebrities, how the mighty have fallen. This is how some D-list celebrities have decided to make some money. There's a new website, Lisa, called dialastar.com, where you can pay D-list celebrities to take your personal phone calls and have conversations with them. Would you like to talk to Tila Tequila, for example? Just $20 per minute to talk to Tila Tequila.
$20 a minute?
Yeah.
But think what you could tell her.
There better be a happy ending at the end of that phone call for $20 a minute.
I'd just be like, die for a minute.
For an hour. It would be money well spent. Didn't she have like a blowout in her brain and she's in rehab and had an aneurysm and an overdose, whatever? They say she can't talk anymore. That'd be great. 20 minutes of her having to listen to me and not being able to respond.
Before you move on to the others on the list, Ralph, is there anything against a radio show spending that $20 a minute to have that person on?
I don't know. It doesn't say here.
We may need to call Tila Tequila and just do exactly what you just described.
It doesn't say here whether they're opening themselves up to radio stations or not. We could have a conversation with Nadia Akhtamam-Sulman for $12 a minute.
All right. We've talked to both of these people so far for free already on the show, and I'm feeling okay about it.
But. How about Dina Loewen? Would you like to talk to Dina?
Seriously? She's doing this?
Of course, Lisa. She's a big celebrity.
Oh, why would anyone want to talk to her, even free?
$18 a minute to talk to Dina Loewen. You're a horrible mother. You've ruined the lives of your children, the drugged one and the anorexic one. Michael, by the way. Michael Loewen's also on the list.
Oh, my God.
He's only making $10 an hour, though. $10 an hour.
So
I mean, $10 a minute. $10 a minute.
How much have we conferenced them together with as a surprise, Michael and Dean on the phone?
Let's get them all on. Let's get Akhtamam and Tila Tequila and all the Loewens and just have a big party line.
That's a great idea.
Just sit back and watch the fireworks. Today's celebrity birthdays, Derek Whibley of Sum 41 is 32 years old today. Kevin Federlesi. K-Fed, Federline, 34 years old today. How has his life changed since he was married to Britney Spears? Steady diet now of Cheetos and Mountain Dew, just sitting back gaining weight so he can go on more weight loss celebrity programs. Yeah.
And is he also kind of still living on alimony from his brief time being married to Britney?
What else could he be living on?
I assume he does.
Except for these shows, when they can't pay that much.
And he's got custody of the kids a lot of the time, I know. So that's probably his full-time job. Matthew Broderick turns 50 years old today, as does former TV host Rosie O'Donnell. Gary Oldman is 54 years old. Timothy Dalton, who was once James Bond, 007, he's 66. And singer Eddie Money celebrates his 63rd birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Hey, party people. Welcome into the Kevin and Bean Show here for a Wednesday. I got an email yesterday from a listener, young lady, who said, hey, Kevin and Bean, is there any way you can give me free tickets to see sold out Red Hot Chili Peppers at Staples Center?
Sure.
Which I replied, yes. Yes, there is a way we can do that, and it will happen again today at 9 a.m. Every day this week at 9 a.m. We just say pick up the phone and call. It's as simple as that. You win tickets to the Staples Center show, and you're eligible for the grand prize drawing we do Friday to see the Red Hot Chili Peppers, this time in, Moscow.
Woohoo!
So, yeah, that's the deal all week long. It not only happens on our show, but you can try again at noon and then 3 and then 6 and then 9 o'clock at night. Details at krock.com.
I don't think that's what she meant, by the way, by her email.
Really?
Yeah. I think she wanted you to give her tickets.
Oh, yeah. That's what she meant. Yeah.
She wanted to circumvent the fair way to do it,
right?
Just to let all listeners have a chance and just get them free just because she was cute and she wrote in.
She's a really big fan.
She's special.
Yeah, it doesn't work like that.
Oh.
Jim Rash from Community. He's Dean Pelton, don't you know, of Greendale Community College, coming up in just a few minutes. First, though, how about another round of Chloe or Snooki?
Hey, thanks a lot for tuning in to the new game that's sweeping the nation, where we read dumbass celebrity tweets and you try to tell us who it is. And this week your choices are Chloe or Snooki. It's Chloe or Snooki. Both of them are so freaking fat. Yeah.
All right, this is the game that proves that not everyone should have access to Twitter. Usually I have to use Bean's tweets as examples for that.
How
but when you see
dare you?
The inanity that is tweeted by these two broads, you will say, why?
I want to know this, Ralph, and maybe this is a conversation for another time, but why would anyone follow Khloe Kardashian or Snooki on Twitter?
I can't imagine, especially when you read these tweets. It's ridiculous. But they are almost inseparable.
So there's no money, there's no winner except for pride. Basically,
that's right.
Lisa and I are just going to try to guess based on what you read. Neither of us have seen the list. We don't look at them on Twitter.
Right.
We're just going to try to guess based on our impressions of these ladies, which one tweeted what.
Exactly.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Who's keeping score? Who's keeping score?
I think Beer Mug is going to keep score.
I'll keep score, yeah.
Okay.
And then and you're also, Beer Mug, you have something special to play depending on which lady it turns out to be, right?
Correct.
All right.
Here we go.
Here we go.
Joan Rivers is so crazy. I love this lady.
My first instinct is Chloe.
I am going to agree because I think she's a little bit older and maybe a little bit more aware of Joan Rivers. I don't even know that Snooki would even know who she is. Yeah. She's just some old lady to her.
Chloe it is. You're both correct. That was Chloe. Right.
Tie game.
All right. The next tweet. Kisses, dream of glitter. Dream of glitter. Writes our tweeter. Kisses, dream of glitter.
That's the whole tweet?
That's the whole tweet.
What's the point of that?
I guess it's a good night tweet. Some people tweet when they wake up in the morning and when they go to bed at night.
Well, I think I know what I'm thinking. What are you thinking, Bean?
Oh, a little strategy on Lisa's part. She's in it to win it, people.
I'm going to say I don't have a feeling either way. It's just a guess for me. I'm going to say Chloe again.
I'm going with Snooki.
Chloe it is. Once again, Chloe. Here
okay,
we go.
Glitter girl.
Yeah, she likes glitter. I love music.
That's it?
That's the tweet. I love music.
Shouldn't there be a minimum entertainment value required before a tweet is allowed to post?
Look
Come
who's
on.
Talking. Look
yeah,
who's talking.
Serious, good though. Point. Look, you make fun of my tweets, but at least I'm trying to say something. This is pointless,
she
right?
She is saying something. She loves music.
All right. I'm going to say Snooki,
I
guess.
I am, too.
If one thing leads to another, yeah. I'm not going to tell them to get off.
No, Snooki. God, no.
It is Snooki. Okay.
Oh, really?
Fitness.
No, that's not it.
The tweet is fitness.
100% Chloe, then. It's got to be Chloe, right? Although, I don't know. Snooki's lost a lot of weight.
Snooki. She seems to be the shorter tweeter.
I'm going to...
Why don't we let Bean vote first before we actually reveal who it's going to be?
Bean said Chloe. Bean
What's
said
your
Chloe.
Rush? What's your rush right, here? We're Bean. Allowed to discuss a little bit here.
Bean, you're ahead by two.
Wow.
I guess so. And I was saying Chloe because I picture her in my mind. I picture her working out in their home gym with Lamar. Fitness mm-hmm. makes sense. I can't picture, even if Snooki lost weight, I can't picture her really being that committed.
She works out all the time, by the way, Snooki. She's like,
she did lose quite a bit
yeah,
of weight.
Yeah, she was a whole big thing about her losing a ton of weight. Which she was working out on the show when they were in Italy. Yeah, she was working out on the street.
I don't watch her. All right, Beer Mug, take your hand off the button. Let it breathe for a minute, okay?
You said Chloe.
Fireworks, so pretty. Here's the tweet. Fireworks, so pretty.
That's the Hulk.
No, it's not the Hulk at all. That is a tweet from one of these two women.
Fireworks, so pretty. We're getting dumber just by listening to you read these tweets, Ralph.
Yes, you are.
Fireworks, so
pretty. I'm saying Snooki again.
I agree. I think I'm going to go Snooki on this one.
Chloe. Kardashian.
We both
well, now we
fooled.
Have to guess Snooki next time.
Oh, do you? Thank you for the heads up.
All right, what you got?
Lion King is on.
No. Thank you so much.
Lion King is on. That's
Somebody
the entire
take,
tweet.
Take this computer away from these people. Well,
you have to give us tweets that have something.
I'm giving you the tweets that they tweet.
What are we supposed to do with Lion King is on?
Give me a
Come
coin.
On.
Let's flip a coin.
All right. I'm going to say, I'll say Snooki. What the hell? I don't know.
I'm saying Snooki, too.
If one thing leads to it another, I'm not going to tell them to get off.
This is actually making me nervous, this game.
I know I know there's no way for you to know, Ralph, but I'm asking for an opinion here. What's going through Snooki's mind when she tweets Lion King is on? Like, what does she think she's contributing to the national dialogue?
Look, for a lot of people, Twitter becomes just a extension of their thoughts. They don't process it. They don't spend any time writing it. They just regurgitate whatever's in their head. They just text into their phones.
And maybe she thinks people want to know what she's doing all the time.
Okay.
OMG, just went to my fave store and they moved. This is a sick joke.
Chloe.
OMG, just went to my fave store and they moved. This is a sick joke.
I say Chloe.
Snooki.
If one thing leads to another, I'm not going to tell them to get off.
Snooki it is.
I believe, am I wrong, Beer Mug? I believe that makes us all tied up, doesn't it?
No,
you're
no,
still ahead
you're
by
you're
one.
Ahead
still
by
ahead
one.
By one. Okay,
five to four.
All right. Home stretch.
All right. Memories is all we have. Make them worth holding on to.
Memories is
it
all
is.
Is all we have.
All we have.
Make them worth holding on to.
Doesn't Chloe speak better than that?
Or I think she does
tweet
talk
better
more
than
good.
That. She talks more good.
I'm going to say Chloe anyway, because again, I think there's at least a tiny level of self-awareness there. So I'll say Chloe for this one.
I'm saying Snooki.
Chloe!
Dean, you win!
Memories is all we have. Make them worth holding
wow.
on to.
I'm disappointed in her. Was there more?
Do we have time for more?
It's 6-4. The score stands being 6.
So basically, I'm going to win. Let's do one more just
right.
for grins.
Okay. All right, here we go. Duck face bitches, I'll be rocking till I'm 90. Duck That's face way- bitches, I'll be rocking till I'm 90.
That's way Snooki.
Yeah.
That's way Snooki.
I agree.
If one thing leads to another, yeah. I'm not going to tell them to get off.
All right, one more. You want to go one more?
Okay.
Sure, why the hell not?
Okay. Mord Fustang.
Mord Fustang?
Mord Fustang.
Is that a typo?
I don't know. I don't know if it's a joke or a typo or it's a clever way of saying Mustang. Ford Mustang, but Mord Fustang.
I'm saying the Snooks through again.
I'm saying Chloe.
If one thing leads to
yeah,
another,
Snooki,
I'm not
yeah.
going to tell
wow.
you to get off.
Bean runs away with it.
Yeah.
Congratulations, Bean.
That's
you're
to
a
be
big
so
winner.
Stupid. Because it's so stupid. Hey, look, if you're following either of those ladies on Twitter, unplug your computer. Step away from the screen, seriously.
Dream of glitter.
Hey, thanks a lot for playing. Chloe or Snooki, it's Chloe or Snooki. Both of them are so freaking fat. Yeah.
Lisa, you remember last week when the beautiful Allison Brie was in from TV's Community?
Love her so much. She's charming and sweet and funny.
Well, put all of that out of your mind because Jim Rash is here today, so I'm sorry to say.
Well, he seems charming to me.
I was just getting ready to say that. But, if we start talking about Allison, I am walking.
We should have done it the other way. You should have come in and then Allison.
Yeah, exactly.
We warmed up for her, exactly. We do all pale compared to the beautiful Allison Brie, that's for sure. Jim is Dean Pelton of Greendale Community College. Ladies and gentlemen, Community, Thursday nights at 8 on
Yeah.
Come on.
Woo!
And we were just talking during the song there. Because look, all smart people, and this is how I justify the TV shows that I like, whether they're good or bad, but in your case, Community is great. But all smart people love Community. And therefore, it's very confusing for us that Community isn't a huge hit. Like, why is not everybody watching Community? So what a validation it was for us last week to see the ratings were great for your first episode on in several months. You guys must have been so relieved when those numbers came out on Friday morning, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because you have no idea. You've been gone for, you know, a good 2 months, whatever it was, plus, and you just don't know. And you do everything you can. And there was a nice push before, which was really nice, and resulted in good numbers. But, I think it's telling, you know, it's an old dated system how we count numbers.
Yes.
The Nielsen's is not a representation of the fact that we have new ways of media of watching stuff. And I think our demographic, if you're young, and most demographic for Community probably is, it's like, you know, I watch it on Hulu, I watch it online, I watch it DVR later, which they do count if you watch it within a certain amount of time. But but there's just seems to be a different way to let people know that their shows are being watched.
Yeah.
So Community is bigger than the ratings would suggest it is. That's what you're saying.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Because I'm going to start using that on this show, too.
Yeah. We should all just say, look, I know there's no way of telling, but everyone loves me.
But trust us on this. Now, tell me about what the fans did this time, because yours is the type of show that people who are into it are really into it. You got a lot of passion. And by the way, is there a name for Community fans? Do they have a clever
Oh my
name
God! I don't even know if they do. They might have one.
They do. Yeah. Everyone does.
Yeah, they probably have one that I don't know about. But
what did they do this time around to get the word out that you guys were coming back on the schedule?
Everything from staging flash mobs to
really?
Yeah, oh yeah, there were flash mobs. And they would post videos on YouTube of them singing certain songs from the show, or they would they did that cut out the goatees and they would put them on their profile pics.
Right.
I think there was an app to do that or something.
That's right.
Yeah, and, you know,
That's super cool.
Twitter. Yeah. I mean, it's everything.
What's it like as a working actor, though, to almost like hate for the phone to ring because you're just terrified that that call is going to come and let you know you're out of work? I mean, that could happen, right?
Yeah, I hope. Nowadays, you probably will find out through Twitter because someone else will probably find it out.
Before, yeah.
I heard Jim's out off Community.
What happened? They don't even bother to tell you.
Why did Chloe tweet this? No, which, by the way, I have to say, I embarrassingly tweeted, I love music. Just yesterday.
Oh,
see? Yeah. Who knew?
I just like to tweet things that are I just love. And I'm, you know, I love this stoplight.
Yeah. How crazy was that listening to their tweets, by the way? They have millions of followers.
I know. I was losing the game.
It's a hard game.
And
it's
losing
a
tough,
very hard game. Because, you know, you never know. Because I also have done things like Dreams and Stardust. I mean, I, you know, it's hard because some of them I thought were mine.
Jim Rash in studio with us, by the way. Speaking of Twitter, you can follow him on one of the worst Twitter names I've ever seen. What is Rash is TV Ugly? What's that and why?
You are welcome, everyone. That was something that was I was actually – when you are an actor, you find out that you are on list.
Seriously?
You will find out you are a certain type. And I heard someone say about TV Ugly – as an a comment of like a very attractive person. And by the way, I'm getting ready to tell that I am not TV ugly, but this is for some actors who are attractive, but on TV they can still be sort of goofy and you know, but you still I guess that's a horrible term for you are TV ugly. And then I got told by this particular person like, oh no, you are TV nebbish. Which I should have used, but I just enjoyed TV Ugly as an expression.
So is TV Ugly sort of like, don't be fooled, he looks or she looks pretty good in person, but on TV they don't film as good, they look kind of goofy?
No, I think that they just say, this is very still attractive, but you can believe is the loser.
Oh,
I don't
okay.
know. I think it's a fine definition, a very specific system that Hollywood has set up
well,
for
I'm
actors.
Well, I'm sure they know.
Look, I'm just nebbish. I get it.
Right. And you need guys who look like you. Not everybody can be, you know, Joel McHale, for God's sake. You need guys who look like you to round out shows. Now, with
Speaking
your movie star
TV
good
ugly.
Looks, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. With your movie star good looks, was it tough for you to get into acting?
For me,
on
the looks department or just in the general?
Well, I'm just saying, did that count? Did that work against you when you decided, hey, I want to be an actor and go for it? Because it does that does make you the sort of look you have does put you in a certain niche.
Yeah, absolutely. And you go through phases for sure. You will go from, you know, oh, this is my phase of the persnickety office assistant, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And also the fact that when I first – if you saw my first wonderful headshot and the head full of horrible hair that – got rejected by my scalp, obviously, and my terrible oversized glasses at the time, and my love of vest, I think, sweater vest at the time. That's what I got locked into.
The early 2000s were a beautiful time for fashion,
God,
weren't they?
Bless you for 2000s. Go.
This is just last year, really.
Yeah, this is last year. But yeah, you go through phases. You definitely do. As you age, you change, and then you mm-hmm. do one role, and they go, "Oh, that's for that person," you know. And I have made a career of sexual weird dudes from Reno 911 to Community. Now that 70s show. I've just pretty much run the gamut of sexual like deviance.
It is funny though because every headshot of you, Jim, kind of looks like some sort of a sexual predator mugshot.
Oh God,
really.
Yeah. Yeah,
don't
yeah.
you think?
I've been arrested so many times.
I'm sure. Now, what is – let's get into Dean Pelton for a second here, who you play on Community again with Jim Rash in studio on the Kevin Bean Show Thursday nights at 8 on NBC. He is – he's gay, right?
It's still or
is
not
it just
declared.
He's in love with Jeff. Is that all
I
that's
think
going
he definitely
on?
Is in love and he wants to be Jeff and be with Jeff,
okay.
I've always
mm-hmm.
thought.
But that doesn't necessarily mean
no,
he's gay.
No, I think that he will go wherever the party seems to be. Mm-hmm. I always
right.
imagine that if you went back to his house, it's a dirty place.
He definitely has a Superman crush on Jeff, though, that's for sure. But
yes.
it also seems like, and it's hard to tell the way you play it because you're playing it for comedy –
you're extremely enthusiastic sometimes, also extremely bitchy, and mm-hmm. sometimes it's extremely flamboyant.
Yes.
But it doesn't always necessarily gel to point out sexual identity just because of those things.
I don't think so. I think that he, you know, from the beginning it was a fascination with Dalmatians. This year, you'll see a little bit later, I get into some trains.
trains?
Well, you'll see.
Right.
Okay. That's enough. But yeah, he just goes through phases. But yes, I think I think the Jeff thing is for real.
Yes.
And but then I also think that he wouldn't be against everyone just having fun together, like a big gang thing.
Understood. Gotcha.
It's very open. Yeah.
Whoever touches each other doesn't matter.
And I think what I love about Community, and one of the reasons why I've been such a vocal proponent of please watch this show, is that you guys push boundaries like very few shows on television. I mean, the fact that you can have a monkey living in the walls, the fact that you can do that, like that amazing episode you did where you did the one scene six times in a row from six different perspectives.
Yeah.
I mean, it almost seems like anything goes, and I think that's a tremendous tribute to the writers that you have all these characters on the show that we already care about, and we're willing to kind of follow them through whatever happens on the episode, and that's very rare on television.
It is very – it is, and for Dan Harmon, our creator, and the writers, it really is attributed to their mad minds and the ability to allow us to go – to space, to allow us to have paintball wars break out, to have these themes.
To be animated,
but somehow make sure that the characters are always evolving, that at the core of it you love these people and you just sort of accept that these things can happen. And I think that's the mark of a great show. And I think any great show in the history of television, most people will just talk about the characters they love. They won't – they might set a specific episode they love, but they'll always go, I love these characters. And so that's a difficult thing to do, you know, to not sacrifice them.
Let me play a clip real quick before we go, and then we'll come back more with our guest Jim Rasher on The Kevin Amin Show. This is from last week's episode. You are Dean Pelton, and you are talking to Shirley, who has applied to open a sandwich shop there on the college campus. And you got some good news and some bad news.
Shirley, I have some good news and bad news. The good news is the board loved your sandwich shop idea. The bad news is they made a few calls and sold the space to Subway, the sandwich place.
What? Pearson, I put a lot of work into that idea. How could you do this, Dean?
I'm sorry. The board went over my head on this one. And I don't remember being invited to your wedding, so I guess we're even on the hurting each other front. I'm a blast at weddings.
How do you get your voice so high?
I don't know. I'm actually shocked by this
alarmed.
Clip.
And I believe I detect Mighty Mighty by the Great Earth, Wind, and Fire. The music in the background of that scene.
I think it might be. I know. I was like, why are we in a train station right now?
Yes, I think it was Shirley's wedding is what it was.
Yes, yeah.
Great stuff.
Thank
Community
you.
Community airs again tomorrow night. More with Jim right after this.
Though the truth may vary this, ship will carry our bodies safe to shore.
Her voice is almost as high as yours, Jim. Do you hear that?
I know, seriously. I was like, did I just lay a track that I didn't know about?
The band is called Of Monsters and Men. Great album. I'm so excited we're finally playing this one on K-Rock. The song is called Little Talks. If you want to see that band live, you can. Free today at krock.com. They are the latest group playing the Red Bull Sound Space, which is an amazing performance space that we have right here in the building. I think a couple weeks ago, Keen stopped by. Had a lot of great bands over the last year or so. So check it out. Of Monsters and Men. Free today on your computer. krock.com at 11 o'clock. Jim Rash is in the studio right now. He is Dean Pelton from TV's Community, Thursday nights on NBC. What kind of music are you into, Jim, by the way?
Oh, a mixture of stuff. I have probably all Ray Charles stuff I have.
Oh, really?
Yes, I like a lot of the 70s funk stuff.
Right on.
Yeah, you don't know. Yeah.
You're practically a member of Parliament Funkadelic. I can see that just by looking at you.
Oh, God, if you see me. And then I'm just jamming. I'm surprised they haven't, you know, people don't ask me to jam all the time.
We were talking about Community, of course, which airs, as I mentioned, Thursday night. And by the way, we're starting a community chain here. And by that, I mean we're trying to do our part to make sure people watch the show live when it airs, like tomorrow night, for instance. So last week we had Allison in. Today we have you in.
now it's your responsibility to find us something for next week. This is how it works.
Someone.
You got to find us someone. So I don't know who's, you know, who of the Greendale 7 you're going to get for us, but we need somebody in studio with us next week. So okay. You need to pass the word when you go to work today, okay?
I will. I work on it. I don't see who I can get.
Sound confident. Do they not like you?
They don't like me very much, guys.
Oh, man.
I didn't know we were going to go here, but I'm just going to talk about it.
And you have to find someone who doesn't already hate Kevin and Bean for whatever reason, too. You know, because
God, that takes out six of them.
I know. That narrows it right
you
down.
May have to come
you
back.
Had Allison, you had me. All right. Ken it is.
You will take us, right?
Yeah.
So anyway, that's your job, though. I'm being okay. Straight with you now.
No, you're
responsible now.
I will. I will do it if we can just keep reminding people that we are on. Please.
Absolutely.
That would do a lot to do that.
In our remaining couple of minutes, we have to talk about, and I thought it was one of the most extraordinary performance pieces I'd ever seen. I'm watching the Academy Awards a few weeks ago, and these guys win for, you know, the adapted screenplay Oscar for the Descendants, the George Clooney movie.
Yep.
And so they get up to accept the award. And you, because you're a comedian, you crash the ceremony. I mean, you run up on stage as if, how do you even get into the building, first of all? You run up on stage and you stand there with the guys who wrote the movie accepting their award. I thought, how does he have the stones to do this? Yeah. Where's security? How did you pull that off?
Well, I just took a cue. I don't know if you remember the last year when that woman sort of ran up there for some small film and beat the other producer because she wanted to talk. Remember that?
Yes,
and I
was
just
amazing.
Like, she's right. I've got to do this.
It was Shades of Soy Bomb. Remember Soy Bomb from the Grammys with Dylan? Remember?
That was so sweet. Yeah.
It had to be so confusing for people watching at home going, why is Dean Pelton on stage at the Oscars?
I was just trying to do some cross promotion and I thought the Oscars is a perfect place.
You are really committed to that.
No, I got a tux and everything.
Do you feel like this was like an unveiling of your alter ego to people? Like people had no idea that you were that guy?
I think they're confused. I think they're still.
It must have been a surprise to find out that you're actually an Oscar winner for writing a screenplay. That's not what somebody expects when they see you on Community.
No, they do not. Not when they see me in dresses or the amount of skin I show.
Right.
They do not.
Right.
They do not put the two together. But it's nice.
Have you gotten your head around it yet? I know it's been a few weeks, but I mean, do you know you still wake up every day, and if you, God forbid, you die on the way out of this interview, you are Oscar winner Jim Rash. I mean, you know that's something like president that sticks with you for the rest of your life, right?
No, it's smart because that's why I carry the statue around in case that happens. If I left here, people go, oh, they try to figure out the mystery. Oh, I know who this guy is. There it is. You do. You start to. It is surreal. It's all that stuff that they say. It's very true, the whole process. And then now I guess you just sort of realize, you know, once the show is over, it's all great and stuff. But it's like, okay, now what are you going to do next? And it's like back to writing. You know, it feels like it's a great feeling and it's opened some nice doors as far as writing is concerned. But, you know, mm-hmm. I look forward to moving on to the next thing. Mm-hmm. You know,
so are you at a point now as an Academy Award winner, Jim, where you could find a project that you were interested in adapting or write a project from scratch and you'd probably be able to get a meeting with anyone in town, right, just based on your credentials now?
I can walk through a toy store and pick any game and say that I will make a movie about this.
Aren't you so bummed that somebody's already doing Battleship? Like,
of course
that's
I
off
am.
The table
when
now?
I saw the trailer, I was like, oh, if I'd just written something faster and gotten to this
and
place.
And Candyland, for God's sake.
Candyland, yes, exactly.
No, Adam Sandler's got Candyland. That's off the table, too. Yeah.
Well, I'm doing Stretch Armstrong.
Nice.
That's my idea. His gel keeps breaking out of his skin if you pull him too much.
Did you take your statue into work, your first day back at work after the
you
Oscars?
Know, we had wrapped the week before that week, so I never got the opportunity to. I did go to Paley Fest, and they asked me to bring it there. So that was my unveiling with the cast. Yes.
I know you joke, but I would never go anywhere without it. I mean, honestly, I would have brought it to the interview today. If you're going to Starbucks after, I would take it into Starbucks. I mean, why leave that at home if you've got it?
Ka-clunk. That's the sound of me putting it on. You can't see it. Ka-clunk. I one that sort of freaks me out, like the idea of like someone, you know.
Well, that's
even
true.
the night of, I mean, you will never in your life want to have people want a photo, not with you, with it. So they keep asking you. So we'd be on the street.
You have to like give it to someone
to
hold.
Yeah, it's so that weird thing of like, I'm going to hand this to you. I hope you don't run down the street, you know?
Yeah,
and
I
so
guess.
It's a weird thing of like people, hey man, can I take a picture?
Oh.
And you're sort of like, all right. You know,
because you feel like an ass if you say no.
Yeah, but you realize, God, there's a lot of pictures out there of me.
Well, I mean, congratulations, obviously, first of all.
You.
But, I mean, it's like, you know, winning the World Series or the Super Bowl or whatever. I mean, you're in the history books forever. And, you know, it's Orson Welles and it's Tom Hanks and it's Denzel Washington and it's Steven Spielberg and it's Jim Rash.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's crazy that you're on this list.
Yeah, that is really crazy. And I hope the stock didn't drop for it.
All right, last question for you, because we are desperately running late, but
yeah.
It's so fun to have you in. And that is, was there, I never followed it to the end, but was there ever any response from Angelina Jolie about the leg?
Oh, no. I can't.
She never commented on it.
No, I can't imagine. I think she thought we were having
fun. She had to love it.
Fun.
Of course,
yes.
She had to love it. She's got a great sense of humor. So
I would imagine. And I really, it was like one of those things where I just thought she was having fun before.
I did too,
and
actually.
Then she
I
laughed
think she was
when
taking
she did it.
Seriously
and she,
when she did it.
Not at all. And I actually wasn't like, I wasn't trying to do her. I was just like, that's a cool stance to be proud of this moment. I knew we weren't going to speak because the Academy tells you to pick one person to speak if you have multiple winners. So I was like, Alexander's going to speak for us. What can I, you know, in that moment, I'm like, I'm proud. This has been a long journey. And I thought, she said it right, you know. And so that's it.
Well, it was one of the great Oscar moments. It was hilarious.
Well,
so talk
you.
About thinking on your feet. And talk, I mean, I don't know if you expected to win or not, or if
no,
you just came up with
all.
It on the fly, but that was amazing that you thought of that at the time.
It was just one of those things. You know, it was such a surreal moment of passing. You know, we're such good, Nat, my writing partner, and I were good friends with Melissa McCarthy and Kristen Wiig from The Groundlings. And Annie Mumolo, and we just passed them, and you get up there, and the fact that we were all in the same building on the same year, it just didn't make much sense, you know. And I think we were all sort of like, "What are we doing?" And so, you know, it sort of takes you over, and you're like, "Well, this is my moment. Don't know if I'll be back."
Oh, you won't be back.
No.
I can speak to that.
Joel's told me many times that I will not be back.
Well, congratulations, seriously. And thanks so much for the time today. We really enjoyed it. The important thing to walk away with is not only is Jim Rash very funny and devastatingly handsome, he's on Community, and you need to watch that. And you need
to
watch that live. And it airs again Thursday night. That's tomorrow night on NBC at 8 o'clock. Jim, we'll look forward to seeing who you come up with for us next week, man.
Oh, absolutely. I will get – I've got a book. I've got to go book.
Excellent.
Thank you so much.
Take care.
A fuel-saving tip from Jiffy Lube. According to fueleconomy.gov, while each vehicle reaches its optimal fuel economy at different speeds, gas mileage usually decreases rapidly above 60 miles per hour. So observe the speed limit. It's safe and it saves money. For more tips, visit JiffyLubeSoCal.com. I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
Lisa said lube. Speaking of Academy Awards, as we just were with our new friend Jim Rash from
the
Community.
Yes, I deserved one for Red State. Thank you, but no one noticed. I'm honored and touched that you brought
Ralph,
it up.
No. What I was going to say is when you hear Beer Mug interviewing Oscar winner Richard Dreyfuss coming up next on the Kevin DeBean Show, it will be one of the most uncomfortable moments you've ever had as a listener.
Does he come at Beer Mug? Is he rough with him?
I think he hates him, if that's what you're asking.
Well, then I might enjoy it. Then I might enjoy the segment, actually.
Play that for you coming up next right here on the Kevin DeBean Show. First, Ralph's got the showbiz beat on a Wednesday. What's happening?
Let's talk about television news. Fox doing its series finale May 21st. They've announced the date. Monday, May 21st will be preceded by a one-hour retrospective of the phenomenally successful series. I, for one, am going to be very sad to watch it go away. But the good news is Olivia Wilde will be returning for the finale.
Oh, great.
In her role as 13, there's been some speculation whether her scheduling would work it out or not. But she will be back. Lisa Cuddy Edelstein will not be back, however. But they're really doing a great job this season of ramping everything up. I don't know if you guys have been watching, but
I kind of bailed.
Really?
Yeah.
Chase was stabbed by a crazed patient with a scalpel right in the heart. And it's been a phenomenal season so far. All the twists and turns it's been taking. So I'm looking forward to see what they do with the finale. But it's good news that Olivia Wilde's coming back because I always liked her character enormously. More TV news. Now, this was a project that I scoffed at. More than scoffed at. I mocked mercilessly, and I might have to change my opinion. It was the remake of The Munsters that we talked about for NBC, the 60s monster comedy about a family of monsters who live amongst regular people, and they don't realize that they're monsters. And
they think everybody else
chaos
is weird.
Chaos ensues. They think everyone else is weird, yeah. And it was a sitcom, basically, single-camera sitcom for many years back in the 60s. They're revamping it, bringing it back, making it a drama this time.
That's a terrible idea.
Called Mockingbird Lane, which, of course, is where the Munsters lived. And I said, this is wrong-headed, and I can't imagine why you would even want to bring it back. And then to make it a drama just seems like everything's going against this. And then yesterday,
they announced that Eddie Izzard will be playing Grandpa Munster on the show.
Oh, really?
Now they got me. Now I'm in. Now what am I going to do? Now I got to watch. It's as if they just check and mate. They just said, oh, yeah, we'll teach this guy. Boom! Eddie Izzard is Grandpa Munster.
Not only is he a brilliant actor and fun to watch, but he's the kind of guy who doesn't sign on to crappy stuff.
Right. Yeah. And so if he believes in the project, I got to believe in the project.
You got to at least give it a try.
Eddie, of course, will be doing our April Foolishness comedy show next month, and so maybe we'll have a chance to talk about that with him. But I'm fascinated by that casting. It is a very interesting casting. Speaking of interesting, how's this for a musical duet? Johnny Depp and Marilyn Manson.
Nope.
He likes to sing, right?
He does. He's a musician. His plan was to be a rock star long before he ever got into acting. And he and Marilyn apparently are friends, and they recorded a duet of a new version of Carly Simon's You're So Vain. This story's just weird on every level. MTV News says Johnny played drums and lead guitar on the track, while Marilyn provided more guitar and vocals. And apparently they did a video for it as well. So
what a weird choice of songs for him to cover.
Yeah. Johnny's 9-year-old son joined in as well. The final product will be a bonus track on Marilyn's new album called Born Villain. So you'll be able to hear it on that that disc. But just what a strange combination and then a strange song.
I wonder why Johnny Depp, who certainly could get the best people in the business to work with him, why he hasn't just done a vanity rock project like so many other actors have by saying, look, this is something I've always wanted to do. I'm going to do it.
Well, he does play a lot. Mm-hmm. He plays a lot of live venues, I know
for
sure.
Right, but he could put out a record if he wanted as well.
Yeah, I think the fear is that it would be perceived as a vanity project, and that's just not who he is. So I think he'd rather play live and then just get it out that way rather than putting his name on something that seems like some sort of cash grab. Mm-hmm. Today's celebrity birthdays, guitarist Derek Whibley of Sum 41 is 32 years old. Former backup dancer and husband of Britney Spears' Kevin Federline is 34. Matthew Broderick turns 50 years old today. Former TV talk show host Rosie O'Donnell's also 50. Gary Oldman is 54. Eddie Money celebrates his 36th birthday. And Timothy Dalton, who used to be James Bond for a couple of years, he is 66 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
It doesn't make me a bad person that I still love that song, does it?
Yes.
It does? Okay. Mm-hmm. POD on KROQ. Hey, the countdown to Coachella is on just 23 days. Every afternoon at 5, we give you tickets. Just be caller 106.7 and win a pair of 3-day passes. Stryker's got them for you today again at 5 and details at KROQ.com. All right. Richard Dreyfuss. Legendary.
Love him.
Oscar-winning actor. So good. He mostly does television work now, I think. He had an arc recently on Parenthood, on Weeds. He's been a regular actor as well. But he's in two of my all-time favorite movies, maybe two of my 10 favorite movies of all time, Ralph. He was one of the stars of American Graffiti, George
Lucas'
movie. And Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
I thought What About Bob was going to be your other one.
What About Bob? He was great in.
How about Jaws, mother effer?
Yeah, I
know. How about freaking Jaws?
Down and Out in Beverly Hills.
Mr. Holland's Opus.
Yeah, the guy's just got a phenomenal career. Won an Oscar for a film called The Goodbye Girl. So Beer Mug gets the opportunity to interview the great Richard Dreyfuss. Now, is he an actor that's he's too old for you to know or be intimidated by? How are you approaching this one, Mug?
Well, no, I know of Dick Dreyfuss, okay?
Easy.
Is that what you call
it? I love Jaws. I've seen What About Bob many, many, many times.
My question is, so when you approached him, though, you knew he was a big deal.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah. And I was
Mark told me, oh, the guy from Stakeout.
Yeah.
That's how I knew he was going to be in trouble in this interview.
Great movie.
Hideous right,
well,
film.
Let's hear some of the interview of you with Richard Dreyfuss. Now, I'm going to warn you of two things here before we listen. One is you're going to become frustrated because Beer Mug refuses to mic Mr. Dreyfuss. And I don't know why we can't hear Richard Dreyfuss, but Muggs apparently thinks it's more important that we only hear him. And two is you're going to be so embarrassed by how long it takes him to ask every single question. Like, how much of this dude's time are you trying to waste is the only thing I can think. So here we go.
I am here with the legend, Mr. Richard Dreyfuss. I had mentioned to one of my coworkers before I came here today that...
Now, is there any way...
that this is heading in a good direction, Ralph, where that's how he's going to go off on one of his incredibly long and
when you think of actors, you think of Laurence Olivier, David Hasselhoff. Sounds like one of those type openings.
Like, how is this his open?
I had mentioned to one of my coworkers before I came here today that I was going to be interviewing the legendary Richard Dreyfuss about a miniseries called Coma. And she got really excited. She's like, oh, Coma. I saw a movie called Coma about... patients going into a hospital for very minor things, and all of a sudden them.
Now, at any point, is this an interview with Richard Dreyfuss, or is just Beer Mug's one man play? I mean, it's a monologue.
Beer Mug tells you about conversations he's had with workers.
I had to set it up.
Just going into comas. And she says, I wonder if it's the same thing. Now, it was a film, original film by Michael Crichton.
Yes. The film was by Michael, and the novel was by Robin Cook.
Correct.
Thank God you validated his information, by the way. Correct. So at least Richard Dreyfuss is there. At least we know he's actually there in the vicinity of Beer Mug's one-man show.
Yes. He's in the audience.
Still no questions, by the way. We're 45 seconds into the interview. No questions yet.
Now, Beverly High. Very nice. You went to Beverly High?
Yes.
That's before class of 65.
That was a year earlier than you.
Yeah, I was class of 66.
You brought that comedy home, because that wasn't clear that was the joke he was making.
Joke was not rock solid until Beer Mug co-signed it.
No questions yet, by the way, in case you're keeping track.
Bull.
Now, Richard, before we continue with Coma, I just want to just go off on a little side tangent here.
Before
Jesus.
We continue on Coma, you haven't even asked him one question about Coma, except it was a movie, right?
All you've told him that he was right when he named the correct author of the original book.
No Coma questions yet, and now you're going off on a tangent. By the way, not edited, folks. This is how it played.
My 7th grade music teacher.
Holy crap.
No.
How are we now going into another story where Beer Mug talks about Beer Mug? At some point, do you think, hey, let's bring Richard Dreyfuss, who's the star, into this conversation, Mugs? What's going on?
I just wanted to share my raw emotion with him and how excited I was to be standing in front of him.
Are you cringing right now, Ralph?
I'm shocked.
I feel so bad for Richard Dreyfuss right now.
How awful it must be to have some nobody in front of you telling you stories about it, 7th grade, and who he had conversations with at work.
He loved it.
No, he didn't. I can hear it.
No, he loved it.
Let's see if this story has a payoff.
My 7th grade music teacher, speaking of class of 66, was so gracious that she took us to see Mr. Holland's Opus. And honestly, I'm not blown smoke here, but that changed my outlook on music at such a young age in 7th grade. So I just want to say kudos for that movie. That was awesome.
So his movie from 25 years ago, you want to tell him how much you enjoyed seeing when you were in 7th grade? That's the point here?
Finally, he's getting kudos for that performance. No one noticed when that movie came out.
First of all, not 25 years ago, and second of all, still one of the greatest movies.
Yeah, he knows. He was Oscar nominated for that film. I think he knows people liked it. How about Coma? How about the project he's working on now?
Let's see if we're even hearing from Mr. Dreyfuss yet.
And the other day,
I know I'm reaching way back here,
not too far, but I saw Stakeout on Cinemax. You are funny.
Unbelievable. It's unbelievable, right? It's Beer Mug standing in front of a guy talking about all the things that he's seen in real time when he's seen them. Like, what's happening here? Wasn't there any part of you, Muggs? And this is a serious question. I know we bust your balls about these interviews, but God bless you for doing them. But wasn't there any part of you that thought, I should ask the guest a question?
I'm way off track here.
I'm using up his valuable time right now. At least I should give him the opportunity to talk too.
Yeah, I didn't have much self-awareness on much of the interview.
This isn't like a fan meeting in an elevator, or you're getting his autograph at some Hollywood autograph show where you're going to tell the guy how much you love him and then walk away. You're supposed to be interviewing him about something. Right. He's expecting an interview.
He's giving up his time that day to do press for his film Coma. At some point, you've got to talk about it instead of what you did in 7th grade.
But I love him so much. I just wanted to...
So write him a letter. Write him a fan letter, but do your goddamn job here. Ask him about his career.
You are a funny, funny man.
I am, aren't I?
He's very nice.
He really is.
He's seething, so though. He's seething at this point. He just wants to die. Don't you guys think, really?
I think he's being enormously accommodating and good-willed and good-spirited about this. Good humor.
Because what else is the guy supposed to say when your question to him is you're funny?
He's trying to have fun with it, I can
he's
tell.
He's trying, right.
And when the light strikes me a certain way, I'm good looking.
you are sexy.
You know?
See, he's playing the long, Bugs, but at some point, again, the ball is in your hands and you've got to do something with it. You can't just go, yeah, you're sexy. You can't just basically add on to his comedy and not pick it up and move it in another direction. You're in charge of the momentum of the interview. You see that, right?
No. back to Coma.
Haven't been there yet. Why are we going
did
back?
You watch the original.
All right, let's see what his Coma question is then.
Back to Coma. Did you watch the original film and did you take anything away or did you just kind of
film when it came out? But that's 30 years ago.
Yeah.
And so you just kind of went into this project, this 4-hour miniseries, kind of with your own take or.
Yeah.
Now he's just bored.
Yeah. Now he's.
And do you play the doctor?
I play the creator of the Institute.
Oh. Very excited.
Not half as excited as I am.
that's the point. That's the read right there where he is stabbing you to death with
good
his eyes.
Good for
right?
him. Good for him. Do you play the doctor? He's just throwing stuff. He's just guessing now at this point. Yes. Are you a patient? It's not 20 questions. Know something. How about this? Who do you play in it? That'd be so much better than, do you play an accountant? Do you wear a suit in this? Just ask him if you don't know anything.
Why won't you ask him any reasonable questions? Well, what's happening?
I try to research before
that. You don't have to research. You know what? Put it all on him. Just say, who do you play in the film? What's the film about? How did you come into the project? How was the experience? Who are you working with? You don't have to know anything. You just can ask him questions.
I loved you in Jaws.
And then you can, no.
Not a question.
No, not a question. And then you listen to what his answer is, and then oftentimes that will spawn another question you can go on, rather than just go, yeah, and then just sit there awkwardly waiting for him to
Very
do something.
Very exciting.
All right, I think we're almost near the end here.
Not half as excited as I am.
Any future plans after Coma?
No, I'm going to die.
nothing, and...
Well, Richard, thank you for your time. You are truly one of my inspirations. I'm not an actor, but comedic-wise, like, I mean, you take serious roles, comedic roles, but...
Come on!
I mean, that's the arts right there. You know, laughter, sad, cry, everything. And Mr. Dreyfuss, thank you so much.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, Beer Bog interviews.
That's the arts. Laughter, sad, cry. That is the arts. That's what they put on all the higher institutions of learning when it comes to the arts. Laughter, sad, cry.
Do you think he'll want to do a follow-up interview?
I think he'll want to stick a grenade down your shorts.
Oh, okay.
We talked about this story early yesterday. If you missed it, it's great. A Memphis police officer has been suspended now for allegedly having sex in his squad car while on duty. Now, already that's enough to get you suspended. That's embarrassing enough as you're a police officer in uniform or maybe out of part of your uniform, and you're having sex in the squad car. I get the problem there. The reason why this story is making us all laugh, though, is apparently fellow officers and anyone with a police scanner were able to enjoy the tryst because his radio was on in the car.
Oops. Someone leaned against it in the middle of that and didn't realize it.
Exactly. You have two modes of radio communication and a police cruiser there. You got a shoulder microphone that stays on your uniform and then a console mic that stays in the squad car. We don't know which radio captured the recording, but the officer has been, it says here, relieved of his duties. That's not the only relief he had as a result of that, but he's been on the force since 2007. And we started talking about this yesterday. There are a lot of things that can go wrong when you're trying to have sex in a car.
Oh, yeah.
It's not the most convenient place necessarily to get down, right? Most of us don't think, you know, most of us don't have this problem where you have to worry about broadcasting it to the neighborhood because you've got a radio that transmits. But there are a lot of other things that can go wrong. We wanted to take your calls on this topic. I don't know that we've ever done this before.
But we want to hear if you were, you know, having sex in a car, what went wrong? And we're trying to, you know, think about some of the various things. I mean, you could get stuck in a certain position that could be painful, for instance.
Oh, that's true.
Obviously, you could be discovered, and that would be, I'm sure that's a very common story as somebody comes along. Maybe your, you know, your parents come along or somebody pulls up next to you. The cops show up, yeah. Right? That could happen. You know, you talk about running into a, you know, hitting a piece of equipment in the act, Lisa. I mean, it's not that hard to knock yourself out of gear, for instance.
My story is a little different than that. I was coming back. I was in college. I was coming back from a party with a guy, and I fell asleep in his lap. Quote unquote. And at some point, for some unknown reason, he lost control of the car and we hit a light pole.
Oh, wow.
And we were going down a surface street and it was on a corner and three other cars hit that light pole after us.
What?
So we got, because they didn't see it as they came around the corner and it fell into the street.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it was very late at night. There weren't a lot of cars on the road and they come, you know, spinning around the corner and yeah. And
that was a bad night for poles all around.
It really was. I mean, he's just lucky he didn't lose anything.
Yes,
you know what I'm saying?
Kidding.
Because I'm sure that's happened.
I'm sure that's happened. You know, I hadn't even thought about that, Lisa, but you're absolutely right. I mean, I was thinking of parked cars. When I suggested that we do this as a topic, it didn't even occur to me all the things that can happen in a moving car while sex is happening.
All the time in moving cars.
Lots of accidents, I would imagine, as a result of that, right?
But he just told the cops he fell asleep.
Dear Kevin and Bean, Jonathan writes in, heard you talking about this earlier. Me and my girlfriend in high school wanted to, well, you know, and like all high school kids, I couldn't wait till we got home. So I pulled over into this back road alley type street and we started taking care of business. Well, the next day I got a phone call from my cousin that works at a local tow yard near the place where we had sex. He produced a night shot video of me and my girlfriend that he shot of us doing it. He offered to sell it to me. I could only think about how effed up that was. So it's bad enough that somebody was watching them have sex in this what they thought was a secluded back alley. The guy videoed it and now is essentially blackmailing him with it.
And it's a relative.
And it's a relative, exactly.
Oh, my God.
That's not what you want to happen. That's not the outcome you're looking for when you decide to have sex in a car. All right. What happened to you? The car was moving or the car was parked. What were the circumstances that turned it into a situation you can now look back on and go, ooh, not so good? 1-800-520-1067. That's our number. We'll take your calls next on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, we're talking about mishaps where you have sex in cars. Lisa, here's a great one before we go to the phones. Jackie writes in from West Covina. I know someone who discovered her man was cheating because of footprints on the back window of the car.
Oh, my God. I never thought of that.
The footprints appeared when the windows got cold. Womp, womp, womp. That's a good one right there. All right. 1-800-520-1067. Let's start with our man Richard. He is on line two. And I guess the important lesson here is be careful where you park if you've decided to have sex in a car. Hi, Richard. Welcome to the show. What's going on?
Hey, how's it going? So we were in a church parking lot, and we started going at it, and I guess there were some kids playing outside, and they saw us. And I was in the zone, so my girlfriend was freaking out, and I'm like, no, just keep going.
Of course you were.
Yeah, and they ran in, told everyone. My parents came out, they saw us.
Your parents came out? Wait, this was a church that your parents went to?
During services?
Exactly. I was dropping my parents off, actually.
Oh, my God. Why couldn't you have picked a different location, drive around the corner down the street? Why did it have to be right there?
I was corny, man. I was in the zone.
So what happened? I mean, what did the parents do?
Well, needless to say, I never went back to that church ever again.
Yeah, your parents probably didn't either.
Yeah, my parents still go, but, yeah, they're pretty much a joke. Now,
that's fantastic. I love that. Thank you, Richard. Appreciate the call. Yeah, location, 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 kids. Let's try Denise. Denise is a goer, and she's on line four and joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, what's going on?
Hi, Denise.
Hey, hello. Denise. Are you having sex in a car right now?
Yes, I wish. No.
All right.
I'm late for work, guys, so real quick. I was down in TJ for almost like a year or something, 7 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I was with this guy, and in TJ, well, Rosarito, there's a lot of hills, right? So we parked in a hill. You know, there was nothing around there. We didn't see that down that hill or another hill or something, there was a little police station. So I think they spotted us, and they you know, all of a sudden we hear knocking because we didn't even hear them pull up. And we're like, oh,
wait, don't they
God.
Don't they know that if your cars are rocking, you don't come a knocking? Don't people know that lesson by now?
Right?
Come on.
That's what I say. That's what I'm talking about. So, anyways, yeah, it's not like we could have fooled them, right? Because they were just right there. So we put our clothes back on and everything. They, you know, they, it was really embarrassing after that. They took us to the police station. They have trucks. So we were like in the back of the truck. We did go to the police station. And it was the most embarrassing thing because everybody, as they were driving, everybody was looking at us. And then they went through the freeway, so it was, like, so windy. We're in the back, and it was really bad, very bad.
I can't
bad.
Believe they literally take you to jail for that.
Yes.
That's rough,
yes.
man. Wow. Yes. All right, go off to work. Thank you very much for the call. Go Raiders. Appreciate that. Let's try, how about Tracy? Tracy's on line three here on the Kevin DeBean Show, talking about sex in cars gone wrong. Hi, Trace.
Hi, how's it going?
Good.
Good. What happened?
So me and my boyfriend were we were parked, we were getting down and everything, we had nothing on, no clothes, and for some reason we decided to leave. So we didn't put back on any clothes or anything, and so we're going around a corner, and I'm pleasuring him as he's driving, and then all of a sudden he goes up into somebody's front lawn, hits a tree, and totals the car.
Oh man.
My God. Yeah. You and Lisa are practically sisters as passengers here. Well done.
So I fly in the backseat trying to find clothes, you know, because the car's totals, we can't move.
Right.
And then the guy comes out of the house, and so we paid him $100 not to call the cops.
Oh, my God. How funny. Yeah. How much damage to the car? Do you remember?
It was totaled.
Oh,
it was just,
dude.
The whole front end was done. I tried to tell him to leave to go, but the car wouldn't go.
Oh, great stuff. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Tracy. Appreciate that. Seth writes in, I was in high school. My girlfriend and I wanted to get it on. Neither of us had our own place, of course, so we pulled into a park. Well, as soon as my girlfriend jumped on, a cop pulled up and shined the light on us. My girlfriend got off, but I did not. I don't mean got off, by the way. I mean got off of him.
Right.
I didn't have time to pull my pants up. The cop proceeded to come to the window with his flashlight and interview us. I sat there and got interrogated by the cop for 10 minutes with a condom on and my pants around my ankles. This is not how he was hoping that evening would end, is it?
They all love right, to do that. That happened
I'm
to me
sure
once,
they do.
Too. Yeah.
Hey, Kevin, that guy who used to be on the show, remember, he was a security guard in college, and he said that, you know, that was part of his job, was kind of patrol the campus. And when he would come across couples doing it in the car, he would just stand as far enough away as he had to be able to watch. He
right.
didn't care. He just wanted to see. Let's do one more. Let's try Charles. He's on line 8 joining us here on the Kevin DeBean Show. Charles, thanks for hanging on, man. What happened?
Hey, what's going on?
Hey.
Me and my lady at the time went to a park and got pulled over by the cops. And he recognized me when we were talking, and he goes, hey, I got to ask you a question. What are you doing with her? She's pretty ugly.
Oh, no. Wow.
Dude, I don't think that matters. If she's going to have sex with you in the car, I think she's hot enough, isn't she?
Hey, I thought so. I mean,
I think so.
It was a great body, just the face was pretty messed up.
You did the right thing.
That's pretty messed up he said that.
It is. I know.
I was 22. I wasn't exactly thinking properly.
Right. Understood. Thanks for the call. Let me close with this. Hi, guys. Sergeant Jesse writes in, the car thing has been done. When I was in the Army, I had sex in a Black Hawk helicopter in the air.
No.
I almost slid all the way out of the gunner's door, 6,000 feet up. Luckily, I did have protection. They call it a safety harness. Sincerely, Sergeant Jesse. So that is the story.
He's
very
a
well
topper.
Done.
I mean, that's the arts right there. You know, laughter, sad, cry, everything. And
that is the arts.
That's
laughter,
the arts
sad,
right
cry.
There. Laughter, sad, cry.
Yep.
Welcome into the Kevin DeBean Show. Adam Carolla joins us after the top of the hour. Now, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. By the way, I don't know who it was on our staff, Ralph, that came up with this, but I think it's going to catch on. And that is when a celebrity is, quote unquote, interviewed, like Mr. Dreyfuss was, Richard Dreyfuss was earlier this week.
Uh-huh.
But when Beer Mug gets a hold of them, they've been mugged.
Oh, there you go. They got mugged.
They got mugged.
You just got mugged.
You just got
outrageous.
Mugged.
So everyone who Mug's reality show.
Yeah, everyone who's had to endure being interviewed on a red carpet by a Beer Mug, that's what happened, is they got mugged. So I like that very much.
It's very strong. Let's talk about showbiz news, shall we? Another celebrity into rehab. Place your bets, boys and girls.
Celebrities, they love to party. How up can they get? Who's putting down the needle or drying out? It's time for rehab roulette.
I told you I was going to play it. And last time it was too low when it started. And then this time it was too low when it started.
Yeah.
And you knew it was coming. How does that happen?
I got it up.
That's what she said.
Sorry.
You are.
I mean, ill-equipped. That's the arts right there. You know, laughter, sad, cry, everything. And you
are ill-equipped for your position.
Hey,
looks like the situation's in rehab. Anybody bet the situation? Anybody money
not,
on the situation?
But now it makes perfect sense.
Yeah, apparently he's checked into an inpatient treatment program, according to TMZ.com. Now, his reps are saying that's not the case. That, and this is their quote, he has spent the past several weeks in an undisclosed location for much-needed rest and recuperation after his extensive production and appearance schedule.
Hmm.
So it's not rehab. It's just a facility where he can recuperate from something.
You can do that almost anywhere.
Yeah, you can. You can do it at home.
Yeah.
I've recuperated at home. A beach somewhere. You don't have to usually go to a facility in order to recoup and rest.
You don't need help to sleep. That given what he's doing for a living, it's kind of brave if he really is going into rehab right now because he realizes that's really going to affect what he's doing. He may not have anything else to offer us. Really.
His whole career revolves around drinking.
Yeah.
He has to go to clubs on the show and drink, and the only work he can get outside of that TV series is when he gets paid for personal appearances at nightclubs where he goes and parties there.
Yeah.
So, you know, he makes from 15 to 50K per appearance in nightclubs.
Still?
Jeez. Well, I don't know how many offers he's getting, but that's his rate. So I don't know how many people are taking him up on it, but that is his appearance rate.
Hope he saved it.
I know Jersey Shore is still a big hit on television. I'm really, really over it.
Well, then you'll be glad to hear that they start shooting season 6 of the Jersey Shore this summer down Seaside Heights.
Who ever thought this would go six seasons?
Six seasons and 3 different locations, Miami and Italy and Jersey. Mm-hmm. So it has become a cottage industry, if you will. More celebrities in trouble. You may not know the name Jamie Waylett, but you may remember him from the Harry Potter films as the bully Vincent Crabbe. Remember him in the series?
Oh, yeah.
He just got sentenced to 2 years behind bars for his involvement in the London riots last year. Mm. He was spotted holding a Molotov cocktail, a gas bomb, drinking from a bottle of looted champagne last August during the riots. And he was convicted yesterday of violent disorder and handling stolen goods.
Wow.
So he's going to do 2 years.
That's serious.
Unless he can do a get out of his spell or something. He just waves his wand and the gates go away. There's more new Beatles stuff coming out. When does that stop? When is the moratorium
more
on
new
Beatle material? Well, no. This time it's a Blu-ray version of their animated movie Yellow Submarine.
What a terrible movie that is.
They're doing a big rollout. It's great if you're really stoned.
You got to be really stoned. That's the only way.
But you guys,
because gloves turn
this
into monsters and things and everything. Well, completists will absolutely have to have it.
Bean?
I might want to.
He said it's an awful film.
It is an awful film, but
this will never end.
Yeah. They did a frame-by-frame restoration of the animation, and on May 29th, it'll come out on Blu-ray. The previous DVD is out of print, so you'll have to pick up the new one if you're interested. And a remastered Yellow Submarine soundtrack will also be dropped on CD around the same time. So
it is
more money for
the
Beatles.
It is incredible that they recorded for 8 years, from 1962 to 1970, and they broke up in 1970, so that's been over 40 years. Yet they still top charts worldwide with every new release. They still sell millions of albums, millions of films, T-shirts, merchandise, everything like that. It doesn't seem like it's abated a bit, does it?
No, it's craziness.
It's
insanity. It's almost as insane as dialastar.com. Yeah, this is your chance, people. If you finally wanted to talk to Tila Tequila.
Oh, yeah.
You go on dialastar.com, and for $20 a minute.
A mental institution or something.
You
have
to be in a mental institution if you spend $20 a minute to talk to Tila Tequila. $20 a minute to speak with her via this new website. This is how some D-listers are trying to make a buck. Nadia Sulman, the Octomom, will listen to you for $12 a minute. Dina Lowen. $18 a minute. And her ex-husband, Michael Lowen, if you want to talk to him, he's a discount. He's the cheapest rate, $10 a minute to talk to Michael Lowen.
He's kind of crazy.
This is a question in your wheelhouse. You can answer this. Can I get a woman to describe her vagina to me for like $2 a minute?
Yes, you can. You can have her pretend to have sex with you and tell you all the naughty things she'll do to you for that.
Yeah, why do I need to spend $18 to talk to Dina Lohan then?
Because you get to scream profanities at Dina Lohan, which I think is well worth the price.
These would be brutal phone calls.
I would absolutely invest some money if I could say, you are the worst mother ever.
that might be worth it just to get it off your chest.
Remember
you
the mom who drove her kids into the lake in Boston or whatever the hell that was? She is a better mother than you. I hate you.
Yeah, that'd be nice. That'd be worth $18 just absolutely to feel good about it.
Just, I could, you know how much venom I could spew in a minute? Yep. I could rattle off a whole bunch of stuff in 60 seconds.
Well, should we have Dave light it up for you?
Let's do it. Today's celebrity birthdays. Timothy Dalton, he was James Bond for a couple flicks. He's 66 years old today. Eddie Money is 63. Gary Oldman, very talented actor, is 54 years old. Former TV show host Rosie O'Donnell turns 50, as does Matthew Broderick. Former backup dancer and husband Kevin Federline turns 34 years old. And singer-guitarist Derek Whibley of Sum 41 turns 32 years old today.
Yeah. Backstage at the Grammy Roundtable with Derek from Sum 41.
Derek got mugged.
He got mugged
backstage.
Dexter Whibley.
I think I need to sign off on got mugged.
That's the arts. Laughter, sadness, cry.
Sure. What do you mean? What do you mean you need to sign off? What do you say? What do you mean by that, Muggs?
I need to review the contract and look over the rights and see, you know.
Hmm?
You know.
Hmm?
I got to sign off on it.
No, you don't have to sign off on it.
You don't get veto power over what we call your bit.
Okay. Moving along.
It's like the worst guy in the team saying, I want to renegotiate my contract. I think I need more money to play next season because I fumbled the ball 107 times.
This is Tim Tebow with his list of demands for the Broncos
That's
today.
Right, yes. So, are we going to rework my deal? No, you don't understand.
You don't work here anymore.
You just sign off. I just got mugged. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Jessica Prado from Los Angeles just won tickets for Red Hot Chili Peppers, sold out at the Staples Center. Now eligible for the grand prize drawing we do Friday to send someone, maybe Jessica, to Moscow in Russia to see the band again. Your chance to qualify is going to be happening at noon today and then again at 3, 6, and 9 p.m. tonight. So five times a day here on good old K-Rock. Check out krock.com for details. Adam Carolla on the phone with us right now. Hey, Ace Man, what's going on?
Yeah, get it on.
Listen, I was on vacation last week, so I didn't get a chance to hear the conversation you must have had with the guys about your exit from Celebrity Apprentice. But I did listen to you break it down on your podcast. And what I'm taking away from that is there's very little reality in reality television.
Well, every time they do a cutaway, like every time they go, you know, D says Lou doesn't work hard, and then they cut away to Lou.
Mm-hmm.
Lou's sitting there waiting for his lunch. It's a completely different day. And he's not hearing that at all or seeing that or anything. They always, all the cutaways are fake.
It was unbelievable to hear you break down going through the tape and talking about where various things came from and the way the important stuff that they left out of the story. Because as you said on these reality shows, they're carving it up to promote a storyline, which I guess you have to do to keep people interested. But it doesn't have very much resemblance to the truth.
Sometimes it does and sometimes it doesn't. But if it doesn't, they will build the story in the bay.
Yeah, exactly. And I will tell you, before we get into the Week in Rage, I have been so impressed and so have enjoyed Arsenio Hall as a contestant on Celebrity Apprentice. He just seems like a fun guy and a really cool guy to hang out with. Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong. He's a really laid-back guy. He seems like the kind of guy who made, I don't know, $75 million in syndicated money and never has to work again. He has that kind of that je ne sais quoi about him. But I did hear, I don't want to give too much away, but I did hear later on there was a biblical meltdown with him in the boardroom that involved the ladies. And it was described to me from Penn Jillette as potentially career-ending.
Oh, my God.
If aired in its entirety.
Oh, I can't wait.
So you got
great.
That to look forward to, yeah.
All right. Well, Celebrity Apprentice airs Sunday nights on NBC, but Adam's not on it anymore, but you can still check it out. Two upcoming live events include tomorrow night at the Irvine Improv. See Adam on stage, irvineimprov.com. Tickets available just $25. That's a great show. And then just announced a night of comedy for Project ALS, you and your buddy Jimmy Kimmel, Sarah Silverman, Kevin Nealon, Todd Glass, Jeff Ross, Patton Oswalt. Great, great show. Raising a lot of money for this charity. That's at the Montalban Theater in L.A. You can get all the details again at adamcarolla.com. It's time for This Week in Rage.
It's time for This Week
in Rage.
Well, starting with three and working up to number one. First, number three. You know, the thing that I've been praying for in cars for the last 20 years has not been the rain-sensing windshield wiper or the sheet that memorizes its last three positions. It's been that thing on the dash that tells you how many miles you have left before you run out of gas.
Nice.
I love that thing, and now every new car has it, except for they don't work. When I'm at the top of my driveway and I get in my car, it'll say you have 22 miles left, and I'll think, oh, that's good enough to get me to the podcast and back. And then I back down the bottom of the driveway, and it says I have 6 miles left. And then I get to the bottom of the street a half mile later, and it says I have zero. And then I drive on zero to Fontana and back.
Right. So, it doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make any sense. First off, when it gets to zero, guess what, bucko? You shouldn't go another 8 feet unless the wind is blowing real hard behind you. Zero should mean zero. I have driven on zero looking for the gas. I've circumnavigated the globe like the Magellan looking for gas on zero. Zero should mean zero. I was working with a guy the other day. He was a half hour late because his car said zero, but he was only a mile away, but he went looking for a gas station, and he couldn't find one. We can't work it out, and here's what I want, because I'm done now. I've realized no car company's been able to figure this out. Here's what they can figure out. 1 gallon left. Little hopper in the bottom of the gas tank that just drops down, figures in whatever fuel is in the line, and it's 1 gallon. That's
yes.
it. That's your warning. You have 1 gallon.
Great idea.
Make of that whatever you will. Drive however you will, whether you're driving a Range Rover or Mini Cooper. You have 1 gallon left. That they can calculate. That much we'll know, and we'll move on. Don't throw a bunch of numbers at me. It's like if your refrigerator calculated how much milk was left, then said, oh, you have a full gallon left, and then you picked it up and dumped a little in your coffee. Now you have a teaspoon left. But then your kids were able to have 9 bowls of cereal with what was left. It's confusing.
No.
It's 1 gallon.
It's bad engineering. Yes.
That's what you have.
I like it.
Okay. The guy who invented Red Bull sadly passed away. I don't know if you guys know that.
Yeah, he was a Japanese guy. He was almost 90, though, right?
Good. See you in hell. I hate him.
Why?
I wish he died the day before he invented Red Bull.
What's the problem with Red Bull? A lot of people live on that stuff.
Turbocharging douchebags for 20 years now. It would have been one thing if he did it for long-haul truckers or med students or interns or something like that. But all he's done is ruin the strip club. Used to be guys drinking scotch with the smoky sax playing in the background. Now it's the techno music pumping and the guys with the barbed wire tattoos and the chicks look like extras from Fast and Furious and the music's pumping and they're drinking the Red Bull and the vodka and everyone is a world-class douchebag.
Well, this might be an outstanding time for me to jump in and to say how much we love Red Bull on the Kevin and Bean Show. And don't forget, in the Red Bull Sound Space today at 11 a.m., you can see the band of Monsters and Men playing live for you at krock.com. Back to you, Adam.
Oh, I hope that guy goes to hell, and it's nothing but a strobe light and some guy with big arms just going, dude, dude, dude. He just never stops saying dude and screaming at him through the strobe lights and the pumping house music. Oh, he supercharged every douchebag in North America and beyond. All right, and number one, speaking of douchebags, I was sitting around talking to David Wilde, who was on my podcast. He's a great writer for Rolling Stone and many other publications, trying to figure out why Michael Stipe was such a douchebag. I was just sitting there. I've never met the man. I kept trying to think, why do I hate Michael Stipe so much? And then I realized, because he's one of these guys who wears the skinny mini T-shirt with the scarf. And I thought, which is it? Is it hot or is it cold? And then I realized I hate all guys who wear scarves that, you know, aren't in North Dakota and in a blizzard. And then I realized a real simple policy to get rid of the douchebags in this society. And tell me if this wouldn't be a better place for our kids to live in. If the weather is over 73 degrees, uh-huh, and a guy's wearing a scarf,
okay,
you get to choke him out with it.
Well, now,
would be living in a utopia inside of, what, 6 weeks?
We lose Oscar winner John Voight at that point. You recognize he's a casualty, right, Adam?
You know what? Sometimes the arts have to pay the highest price, but still a better society.
Okay.
A better society for our kids to grow up in if every guy who wore a scarf when the sun was overhead and everyone else was wearing T-shirts and wife beaters, if there's a guy standing next to you wearing cargo shorts and you're wearing a scarf, we get to choke you out.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Bad news for Michael Stipe. Bad news for Scott Weiland. We are going to lose a few famous people, but, I mean, that's the casualty, I guess.
That's the price they pay. They pay the ultimate price for art.
See Adam Carolla on stage tomorrow night at the Irvine Improv. Just $25. Get your tickets at irvineimprov.com, adamcarolla.com for all the details on the big Project ALS benefit coming up on May 2nd at the Montalban Theater in Los Angeles. Have a great week, Adam. Thank you,
thanks,
man.
Guys.
Ralph Garman is here. Time for the Showbiz Beat here on the Kevin DeVine Show. Hey, real quick, Ralph, because
yes.
I forgot earlier.
Right.
Our friend Michael D. Catherwood, Psycho Mike, ex of the Kevin DeVine Show, goes to the line. He's on your TV tonight. It's Auction Hunters new season. He's doing a live show tonight at 6 o'clock our time. Auction Hunters Live.
Hmm.
You like all the shows that have to do with auctions.
Nope.
Okay, well, this is Psycho Mike. If you love him and miss him like we do, you want to see him on the TV, that's on the Spike Channel, 6 o'clock tonight, and then they debut American Digger right after that. So that's how
Spike is just ripping off everything good on television.
Well,
Auction Hunters is just Pawn Stars and Storage Wars ripped off. And then American Diggers?
Yes.
Really?
That's their new original
Did they know
series.
There was a show called American Pickers on by any chance? Did that ring a bell to anyone at Spike?
Well, it's a popular genre.
Spike in the ear.
I think it's going to be fun to see Mike back on
I
the team.
Want
That's
Spike to go rape themselves.
All right, time for the Showbiz Beat. And I did promise you had a spectacular giveaway this hour, too.
I do. It is a, it's cool. I wish I could win this. That's how good it is. A 3-day, 2-night trip to the Ultimate Tropicana Transformation Party in Las Vegas.
Yay!
Tropicana, for those of you who don't know, has completely done an overhaul on their hotel and casino, and it's quite the destination these days. You should check it out. If you don't win, you can go to trplv.com for the details and see all the new changes and upgrades they've made at the Tropicana. But I'd like to give away a 3-day, 2-night trip to attend the Ultimate Tropicana Transformation Party. They are celebrating their brand new renovations. It's happening from April the 17th through the 19th. If you're lucky, caller number 21 right now, caller number 21 wins the trip. One winner. 1-800-520-1067. Call now. Lucky caller number 21 will be going to Vegas.
All right.
Thanks to me and the Tropicana. Maybe I'll go and I'll see you there. Because I haven't been to Vegas in a while. And I miss it. And it misses my money. My liver doesn't miss it. Ah, this is getting nuts, this Hunger Games thing. Great story.
It's popular.
Today. It is. It's beyond popular. It's insane. Hunger Games has not yet come out. Just keep that in mind. Right. March 23rd is its release, this Friday. It is already the top-selling franchise-opening film in history.
Just on advance sales.
Yes. Fandango's been selling tickets for 12 years now. They have pre-sold tickets to Twilight Saga, The New Moon, Breaking Dawn, Part 1, Eclipse, Harry Potter, Deathly Hallows, Part 2 and Part 1. None of them have come close to the ticket sales for Hunger Games, the very first Hunger Games in what is a proposed trilogy.
I would have thought the last three Star Wars movies would have set all the records.
Nope.
The president
of the company says it's an astonishing pace. 2,000 screenings have been sold out via Fandango.
Lisa,
92%
what are you
gonna do? Of all its ticket sales are for the Hunger Games.
Well, I made plans with a friend like a month ago, but we couldn't get a day together until next Friday, so we're waiting a week.
Oh,
but we
Lisa.
Both read the books.
Oh, Lisa.
So I don't mind waiting.
Oh, Lisa. How you've let us all down.
Sorry.
I can't wait to see it now, too.
I know it's going to be great.
I talked to someone, one of my coworkers today, Richard Dreyfuss. I was over on the other side of the building, and she said, "Have you seen it yet?" I said, "No." She said, "I got a chance to go, and it's amazing. You're going to love it."
That's
and
what
it's not just for the chicks either, by the way.
Nope.
I'm slowly learning that it's a film that's fun for all ages.
I agree.
Yeah, bring the kids.
Maybe not that.
And then set them loose in the wilderness and give them a bow and arrow and see how well they do. All right, let's talk about, since we're talking about Harry Potter in the franchise, Jamie Waylett, actor who played Vincent Crabbe in the series, is behind bars now for 2 years due to his involvement in the London riots last year. Jamie, who's now 22 years old, was spotted holding a Molotov cocktail, a bomb made of gasoline in a bottle, and drinking from a bottle of looted champagne during the last August riots, and he was convicted yesterday of violent disorder and handling stolen goods. Good thing he wasn't holding the bottle of champagne and drinking out of the bottle of gasoline, because that could have been a very dangerous combination. Yeah. This isn't his first brush with the law, by the way. He was convicted on illegal production of marijuana 3 years ago. Had to do 120 hours of community service. The new sentence is considerably stiffer. So that's what happens when you're a bully. You go to jail. Remember that, people. It gets better. This has been a PSA.
Thank you.
Rob Corddry, how funny is he?
The best.
He and Leslie Bibb are starring in a new film. Usually I talk about movies that are going to be horrible, but this one sounds awesome. They play a husband and wife who move to a haunted house in New Orleans, and they are terrorized by a demon baby who lives in the house.
Demon baby?
The movie's
awesome.
Called Hell Baby.
Awesome.
It's a horror/comedy, and they have to get a couple of Vatican exorcists to save them from the scary baby that lives in the house. I'm laughing just hearing about the concept. And Rob Corddry always makes me laugh. Remember Hot Tub Time Machine? Boy, I love that
movie. Of course.
Yes. Yeah. Kiss and Motley Crue are going to be touring together this summer.
That's a pretty good value for your dollar.
They're calling it The Tour. 40 dates scheduled from July the 20th in Barstow, Virginia through September 23rd in Hartford, Connecticut. Each band will do a full 90-minute set every night. So it's not like one's opening for the other. I'm sure they'll alternate who opens and who closes the show. But Gene Simmons said they're doing this tour. Well, you know why we're doing this tour, Gene, for the money. But secondly, we're sick and tired of girls getting up there with dancers and karaoke tapes. Leave that to Rihanna, Shmiana, and anyone else's name who ends in ah. So I guess we're going to see some real rock and roll up there.
Well, Kiss is one of the biggest live acts of the 70s. Motley Crue was the biggest live act of the 80s.
You got the best!
Put them together, you're going to hit a lot of people, a lot of concert goers. Yeah, that's a good double bill.
A lot of remember winners. And while we're talking about music news, Johnny Depp and Marilyn Manson have teamed up for a new duet. They just recorded a new version of Carly Simon's hit, You're So Vain.
Is this a comedy?
I don't think so. I think this is a serious cover of You're So Vain.
Huh.
No.
MTV News says Johnny played drums and lead guitar on the track. Marilyn provided more guitar and the vocals. And Johnny's 9-year-old son joined in, apparently, too. Well, that should be good. That should be good if your 9-year-old's playing on it. It's got to be good. Hope he gets credited like Blue Ivy Carter.
Oh, right? Yeah.
Nope.
Featuring B.I.C. Today's celebrity birthdays, Timothy Dalton. He was James Bond for a little while, 66 years old. Singer, legend, personal friend of me, Eddie Money. 63 years old today. Remember that time we performed together on stage?
Well, remember when we were on stage? Remember that time you were scheduled to perform.
We performed.
I remember you were backstage.
We performed on stage.
He forgot to bring you out.
I was on
stage.
The same stage as he was.
And then you were still backstage.
No, I walked out on stage.
And then, as he was saying goodnight,
as he walked
for coming,
off
everybody.
The other side of the stage, I was on the stage.
With tears streaming down your face.
I'm saying we shared a stage, and that's all that really matters in the long run.
Greatest things that I've ever heard about was that.
Damn you to hell. Gary Oldman is 54. Rosie O'Donnell is 50. Matthew Broderick is 50. I just remember poor Dave, the King of Mexico, who at the time was fairly new to the show. And we sent him to the Orange County Fairgrounds, where I was performing with Eddie Money, to sit in the audience and videotape it. So poor Dave had to sit through the entire Eddie Money show with a video recorder in his lap. And then, you know, he pulls it out and Eddie Money walks off the stage. He's like, oh, I had to sit through that whole show and nothing happened. This sucks. He was very dejected.
It's not my fault.
It wasn't your fault that night, King. One of the few times it was not your fault. Kevin Federline, former backup dancer and husband to Britney Spears, is 34. And Derek Whibley of Sum 41 is 32 years old. Remember when he got mugged backstage, Derek Whibley?
He did get mugged. Yeah.
Backstage at the Grammy Roundtable with Derek from Sum 41.
Yeah. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you so much, Ralph, and congratulations to your winner for the Tropicana trip to Las Vegas, Jessica Mendez from the City of Industry. Her name is Jessica.
Jessica. I say Jessica. Nosica.
Well, she won the ticket. She'll have another trip to give away tomorrow. Speaking of tomorrow's all-new Kevin Amin show, how's this sound for a show? Duff McKagan from Guns N' Roses is going to be joining us in studio tomorrow. Great guy. Funny man Aziz Ansari on the program tomorrow.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Dr. Drew Pinsky be on the program tomorrow. Okay. Got a brand new Kevin Amin Internet Roundup for you. Also, we are going to, well, we'll save that for tomorrow, too. And
Secret Keeper.
And I'm a Secret Keeper, right. And lots of good stuff. How about that? What is the catch-all umbrella phrase? Lots of good stuff. And more.
And more.
That's all tomorrow, right here on the world-famous K-Rock.